It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I've listened to the show for this long. They know this, I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous kill.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 115. I'm C4.
And I'm Kovar.
It is April 2nd, 2006, the day after April Fool's Day, which is a really, really shitty day for us to have to do a show. Because I'll tell you what, I can't trust any news that I read this entire week now because I'm, like, afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of it's real, and it's really hard to tell.
And they were really early about it this year, too. Like, couple places were starting several days ahead of time.
Several days?
Yeah.
Oh, I only caught stuff that was on, like, late night on the 31st. Stuff where I figured they were in a different time zone anyway.
I caught a couple things. I can't remember exactly what now, but I caught a couple things on, like, the 30th.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that sucks ass. I didn't want to get caught doing anything really stupid, you know, like talking about World of StarCraft, this great new game that's coming out from our friends at Blizzard, and, you know, the Duke Nukem Forever review over there at Ars Technica. It runs in a browser, which is fantastic. And, you know, the recently redesigned Slashdot website, which, you know, was all about ponies and unicorns and rainbows.
Good which stuff.
Right, stuff that we actually cared about. And I don't know, it was pretty funny, though. I saw a lot of really neat little things, you know, funny little things out there. The gaming news I thought was great anyway. If you go to the Wikipedia, though, you can look up April Fool's Day by the year, and they list, like, a bunch of shit, and it was cool because you could look at it, like, in the middle of the day yesterday and click around on all the links and stuff and see.
Huh.
Yeah, it was quite entertaining. It got me through my day at work. It was pretty cool. We got to see some pretty neat stuff. Like, the BinRev forums actually looked a lot like the Slashdot page did. But, let's see, our show here, Games and More Entertainment Radio. The website is hwhq.com. The email is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And the IRC channel is irc.oftc.net. The channel is #gamer. And let's see, we do have some email that we can start out with this week. Let me see here. Oh, God, I printed them all fucked up, so I might stumble through these a little bit. The first one is a Grandia 3 review from Error. And let's see, it says, I know Kobar kind of gave one already, but damn it, I want to feel important. Don't we all? This is why we play MMORPGs, so we can actually be somebody because, you know, we're all pieces of crap in the real world.
I also had bought it, like, the day before we recorded, so... It wasn't exactly an extensive review.
Right, and now you've played it considerably a bit more, right?
I have.
Since then? Good deal. Okay.
Still good stuff.
Awesome.
Still pissed off about the problems I mentioned.
Right, right. Okay, let's see what Air has to say, though. It says, I didn't actually get a chance to read this one ahead of time. Well, after hearing Kobar talk about how it should blow my fucking nuts off, I decided why not try it. I went the used route at a local Rhino for $39.99, so I'll base my review off that price. The first 10 minutes of video was actually pretty cool. I really liked how the game guides you along with battles at first. Me being a noob, it really helps. So how's about that combat? It could be better, I think, if there was an option to make it active instead of wait. And if you don't know what that is, that's like, I think a lot of people know what this is because they played Final Fantasy and like Chrono Trigger type games,
right,
where you could choose if you wanted active style battle or like a wait system where once your character would go, bam, it would stop and let you choose an action for your next guy, and then the battle would progress and it would stop again and let you pick the next guy, and then the mobs would go at some point, you know, your enemies would go.
Being able to choose that might be cool, but I really think the active in this system would kind of break it. It wouldn't be quite as cool as it is, personally.
Maybe. I'd have to check that out. But it says, the only downside is that controlling four dudes with a game that is this think complicated could get nasty in bigger battles. And he's right. I guess that probably would create one hell of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of cool, though, because I always picture myself playing an MMORPG with, like, four computers. And I think of it as like the same idea. Like, I want the whole crew. Because I'm tired of fucking playing with a bunch of retards. The aerial attacks and being able to cancel the mob's attack really comes in handy. The only downside to this game is the world is rather restricted. When you're talking through some woods or something, there is a really slim trail. He must mean walking. When you're walking through some woods or something, there's a really small, slim trail you have to follow. I would really have liked the game to be a bit more open. The voice acting rules. I really like how the characters interact with each other, combined with the cuts of video that are peppered throughout the game, really sets things off. Almost feels like I'm watching a show while it is going on. I could go on for a while longer, but I'll save C4's voice. I'm sure you love my horrible grammar and spelling. Late error. That wasn't so bad. I'm just having a hard time today. I got hair in my mouth or something. All right, now let's see. Just listened to episode 112, and I had a comment. This is from Zero. I caught episode 112, and it seemed to me that the comments about the lack of lore and story in EverQuest 2 was unfair. It, too, had the important quest that advanced the story. They were just pretty much raid-only in the base game. There were, of course, the access stories, which World of Warcraft has as well, but the main storyline was relegated to raid-only. In the two expansions, there are story elements in both the raid game and the solo group game. That's solo slash group game. It is a big improvement over how the base game had implemented it. Okay, now that's just in my defense, that's all I had played. I hadn't played any of the expansions for it, and I thought it was terrible
in
that.
We left before the expansions.
Yeah, thank God. I got out while I could save myself. compare the base game advancing the story through 24-person raids. That were difficult when 50 was the level cap. The Desert of Flames advancing the story of the city primarily through quests requiring 1 to 6 people. The final reward quest required a 24-person raid, but the bulk of the story was told through those one group quests. In addition, there was much more intertwining of the stories. In the latest expansion, Kingdom of Sky, the NPCs will have additional dialogue choices dependent of your earlier accomplishments. Defeating Darathar in the base game, and or defeating the God King Anuk in the Desert of Flames, by integrating this, they do what I think is a much better job of making you feel like a hero, instead of simply being a random guy who wandered out of the city. I'm catching up, and if someone commented, go ahead and disregard this. But in summary, I think that EverQuest 2 has been doing a much better job since about September of last year with the release of Desert of Flames. They've been learning how they fucked up with the base game and have been working to improve significantly. And you know, I'm so pissed because I have heard nothing but good stuff about EverQuest 2. Like, lately. Like, I heard nothing. Okay, I'm playing this game, and I get a gang of shit for it, and I'm pissed off, and they fuck up the patches, and they break the game, they hose some characters, they completely jack up your classes, they've got more broken quests than I know what to do with, a ton of bugs, it kills your system, and there's just nothing to do. I quit, the expansion rolls out, and I can't stop hearing enough good about this goddamned game.
You think you get shit? I'm the one that was calling it the Second Coming of Christ before it came out.
Yeah, no, I bet you get a ton of stuff, huh?
And it was going to be.
It was supposed to be. It was slated to be. They had the biggest fan base for something like this as it was, and they dropped the ball. And the killer part is, I really enjoyed it. As fucking broken and shitty as that game was, I had a goddamn blast playing it. I had an absolute fantastic time with myself the entire time I played that. I mean, seriously, it's nothing like World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. Like, I come home from work, currently. You know, and it's like, I've got nothing better to play, so here goes World of Warcraft again. And as much fun as I have with the single player, I had to actually have a session with the doctor about this. Ribo and I talked about this for just a little bit, and he kind of brought out some inner feelings I had for World of Warcraft about how much I do enjoy it. I enjoy the single player end of it. I get upset when I all of a sudden have to involve myself with these nitwits that make up the community of World of Warcraft and have to interact with them and deal with them. I like the auction house. I can sell them crap, right? They're little nothings to me. They bring me cash. They're okay. But the minute I have to speak with them and I run into them in the world and everything, I would rather run into Horde than my own Alliance people. Because at least I can't communicate with them. You know? I mean, it's just absolutely retarded. Like, as far as the single-player game goes, I have a blast, but I've come to the end of it. Period. Mm-hmm. I've done everything I can do. You get to level 60. You get what gear you can get. I'm geared up better than these people that have been playing for months, though. It's like they're that bad. I've got all these weird quests done, all this cool stuff, access to everything, and I can't do any of it. And I have no fun anymore with it. Battlegrounds really is gay. Battlegrounds are just stupid. I think they're retarded, and they made the only one good one really suck with the new patch, I think the 1.10 that just came out. And so it's like I'm not happy. You know, and then I go to bed exhausted every day because I didn't do anything and I'm upset and unfulfilled. When I was playing Final Fantasy XI, every single day was like I could not wait to wake up to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was like I would not sleep until I was passing out. You know, it was that much fun.
And set your alarm early so you wake it up, wake up and do it all over again.
Yeah, yeah. It was like sleep deprivation. It was just fantastic. Whatever I had to do to play that game as much as humanly possible. And with EverQuest 2, I remember going to work, and like at any time that I could find some kind of a way to get out of work early, I did. You know what I mean? It was like anything that I could possibly do, I was all over it. And I would race home, and it was like I wouldn't even go to the store. You know, like if I hadn't had like anything in my house, like, you know, whatever it is that you need, you have to go to the store for periodically, you know, whatever it is that you have to stock up on every so often, I would run out, and it would, like, shatter my world to have to make that stop at the market before I get home, you know, like, to pick up that necessary item, you know? I mean, it was just absolutely horrible, and I would rush in the door, and I would just, like, strip off my work clothes and throw on some comfortable clothes and kill the lights and wham! Throw on my headset and see if any friends I knew were on, you know, and log in and just, oh my god, check your auctions, make sure, you know, see how much money you made. I mean, it was, well, not really auctions, but yeah.
Right.
Anyway, it was fantastic, you know, and it was just like I could not wait to play that game. And sometimes there was nobody there. Sometimes there was nobody there. And the single player in that, when I played, was really weak. I mean, it was group mobs everywhere. And it screwed up because I remember complaining in the past about how they changed it to a lot of things being solo, but it was once I'd gotten past all the solo in that game. And then they started making things way more solo, and I was running out of things to do because they were taking it away from me now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a different experience than playing World of Warcraft now, and I find it funny because I base my entire life on video game experiences, you know. And it's like I try to communicate with people like my father, my mother, and I can't do it. You know, I just can't do it anymore. You know, I don't know how to talk to them because they don't know anything about the game world, or I'll make a joke about something that happened in a game, and they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Like, Leroy!
Yeah, they would look at me like I just fell out of the truck and landed on my head. You know? I mean, it's not going to cut it in the real world. You know, and these in-game experiences are what I prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like my family, you know. I mean, this is it. My little computer world here, and I've got the websites I go to and this and that happens. And this stuff that's not real seems like a real entity. It's probably disturbing to a lot of people. And I'm sure there's doctors, and they have, you know, things to say about that.
Yeah, I have a lot of people at work that, like, shake their finger at me. You just go home and play video games all day?
Yes, I do. I know. I'll get involved in a conversation with somebody at work every so often about games, and every now and again somebody who doesn't play games nearly as often or at all will walk around the corner and stare at us and just be mind blown as if we're talking about some kind of, you know, alien technology here, and then it'll hit them and they go, "You guys are talking about video games again, huh, aren't you?" It's terrible. Speaking of fantastic video games that offer one hell of an experience, this is one sad fucking email here. This is from Super Sin Sin. "Dear God in heaven, have you guys heard this? It seems Buena Vista Games got the brilliant idea of making a game based on the hit TV series Desperate Housewives. Who the hell thought this up? Is middle-aged women, is this going to be the target audience? If my mother starts playing video games, I'm going to take my PS2 out back and put it to sleep with a couple of well-placed rifle shots. Let's just cross our fingers for a Gilmore Girls game next." Holy crap. Okay.
Well, no, I personally have no problem with middle-aged women playing video games.
No, me neither.
But they don't.
Right, no, they don't.
I don't know who the hell they're trying to market this
to. Wait, no, that's not entirely true. You know, there is, honest to God, a good percentage of middle-aged women that come into my place of business and purchase World of Warcraft.
For the kids?
No. Like, I have had full-on conversations with these crazy chicks.
Okay.
Like, they're walk up and they're seriously like, "I need a video card so my machine doesn't lag when I'm in Ironforge." I'm like, having to, like, separate that reality from video game world C4, you know, reality gets shadowed there for just a minute, and I'm not quite sure which side we're on there, and I'm like, what? Huh? You know, when I'm in Molten Core, it gets kind of choppy, and I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, the MMO genre is a little different. Like, EQ1, in its heyday, I think the average age was, like, 25.
Okay,
the player
base.
So there's a lot of people that were higher than that.
Right.
I knew tons of like 40-year-olds that played that game right alongside me. So that genre is a little different.
Right, right, absolutely. I don't see them playing. Like, these are not the people that go home and play. Right. They don't. They don't know who Mario is.
Yeah.
But they sure in the fuck could tell you where the auction house is in Ironforge. You know, they could tell you the strategy to take down Cro-Magus. You know, they can't tell you who is Luigi. And they'll be like, he sells me pasta down the street, you know? It's just like, no, he doesn't. Anyway. You know, I wanted to say one last thing about the EverQuest 2 thing. About the previous email. It has crossed my mind 5 or 6 times in the last month to try that again.
Yeah?
Honest to God.
You'd have to get the expansions.
Oh, I would. If I was to get into it, I would run out and buy them. I really would. If I was to play it. But it's crossed my mind that it might be entertaining just to spend maybe a good hour or two on the island again. You know, download the trial.
Yeah.
And just futz around on the island for a little bit. Just so I can remember how the combat works and remember how certain things work, you know. Because there's quite a few things that World of Warcraft does with this interface that I really like. And there was a lot of complaints I had with the EverQuest 2 interface, particularly now that I see World of Warcraft's. I didn't have too many problems with it before, and it was okay. It was mostly easily configurable and it bent to your will. You could make it, you know.
I liked the EQ 2 interface a lot more than WoW's.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the very least, stock.
Right. Well, okay, that's another thing. I use the stock interfaces for both of them. So, like, I have, like, 3 or 4 mods. I mean, it's
for
nothing.
For example, I open up a window, and WoW, I can't move it.
I know. That drives me up the wall. I don't like that at all. But yet, their style of indicating if a creature is, like, an elite, like a group mob only, or a named mob is far superior than EverQuest's, I feel, anyway. Something like that really, really bothered me in EverQuest.
That was a real bother of mine in EQ2s as well. This is a solo mob.
You know, yeah.
This is a group mob.
Yeah. And then they changed it. Remember when they went, they become heroic? It used to say
that
group.
Helps.
Right, and then it said heroic.
That helps. I liked that change.
Because it's the same thing. They just
changed
the word.
Yeah, but at least
word.
It's something. At least it's a little more immersive.
Okay. I'll give you that, yeah.
It's
I'll
not
give you that.
Solo mob.
Right.
It's a regular mob. It's
right.
Not group mob. It's
right.
Heroic mob.
Right, okay. I can see that. I miss the graphics, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I miss the graphics bad. I also kind of miss making my computer a portal to EverQuest. Like with World of Warcraft, you can minimize the game, and it's no big deal. You know, your computer runs normally. Like, whatever it does, it shuts down, you know. It doesn't need fuck all for resources to do whatever it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You fire up EQ2 and try to pull that shit off. And it's going to take you like 4 days for your browser to open. You know what I mean? But it was kind of cool because it was like I just kind of got to the point where I was like, well, I'm just going to leave my computer on 24/7 playing EverQuest.
Mm-hmm.
And you started to feel kind of alive and real in it. You know what I mean? It was far more immersive to me than World of Warcraft, which is something I look for in these kind of games. And World of Warcraft does not deliver that. It delivers an experience a lot like a console hack and slash or something like Diablo at best, you know? It's a different experience, but not what I want in an MMO, which is, this has been on our minds a lot because we've got Vanguard, you know, probably about, you know, less than a year away here, and it's just like, got my blood just on fire because it's like, okay, this could be the next biggest thing. This could be the next big game. Now, granted, I expect there to be an assload of people that start, you know, the World of Warcraft players, of course, that are just like, oh, fuck that game anyway, you know, fine. Stay there.
I've heard some bad rumors about Vanguard. And I'm hoping that it's either World of Warcraft players playing beta and they're like, what the hell is this? And it's their first one, and so they don't even know what the hell's going on. Or it's just people who
have... They're just not done with my first MMORPG yet,
right.
That's all.
Or it's people who have a grudge against EQ1 and its creators. There's a lot of people that like hated that game and
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic... It was the best idea that I've ever heard for a video game. It was absolutely fantastic. Dungeons & Dragons 24 hours a day without having your friends come over and drink all your fucking soda.
Mm-hmm.
That's genius to me. That's like Shangri-La, you know? It's just, this is where... This is.
Or the guy who did it likes to put it as a fantasy novel where you're the...
Okay, right. You know, I mean, that's a fantastic... thing. It just didn't work out for me. You know, I mean, it was a great idea. It worked out for millions of people. Didn't work out for me, but it opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it got me to take a look at these type of games. And unfortunately, I guess, you know, they've become very large, to the point where it's become a big part of the show, something I never thought would happen. Never. Like, I still have flashbacks of doing episode, you know, 4, and I'm thinking how cool it was that we covered every console. Like, you know, all the time I had new games to talk about that were coming out for the Xbox or for the Dreamcast or whatever, you know, what have you. And I really enjoyed that. And now it's like I'm kind of stuck in this PC mentality because, hey, the online MMORPGs are there. Mm-hmm. I need to get in on these because these are fun games. These are the kind of things you could play for months, not hours. You know, we look at a game like Grandia. Okay, maybe it's a 25-hour game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you spent $50 on it.
$50. Or you spend $50 on EverQuest 2. I cannot believe I've got a hard-on for that game again. I've been thinking about it a lot for some twisted-ass reason.
You know what keeps popping into my head again is Final Fantasy.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, no.
No.
I'm gonna pay for this month. I'm gonna hop in. I'm gonna be all, oh yeah, this is so sweet. This is why I love
like
this game.
For like 3 days.
Yeah, for like 3-4 days, and then all of a sudden we all, oh yeah, this is why I
remember
why
I quit. Yeah, and then you're gonna continue to pay for it for another three months. That's exactly what's gonna happen. That's exactly it right there.
Because as great as these games are, once you quit, once you leave, once you really chop it out of your head, the magic's gone.
Right. Now, that's a big thing about these kind of games, too. I mean, there is really a lot to these games. You know, I mean, beyond the game itself, though, the way it works with your brain, you know, it's just bizarre how it kind of twists people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think it's fantastic. It's what I've always looked for. It's like the drug of choice, you know? Video games, my anti-drug, you know? This is it here. It's MMOs have really filled this gap that I didn't even know was there, really, though. I got that fix from other games, you mm-hmm. know? And it worked out fairly well, but it was nothing like the experience you get with this. And I feel like I'm half preaching to the choir here, because I know a lot of our listeners play, you know, MMORPGs. And yet on the same token, I know a lot of them can't stand them, and yet it's like I'm trying to talk them into it. And I am, because I feel that you should at least try to experience one or two. And the thought process behind that is, you might like it for one, and at least you'll know a little bit more what you're talking about, and it's a pretty good experience.
Try WoW.
You know?
WoW is a good first one.
It is, because you don't have to jump right into the whole group thing.
Right.
You know? I mean, you could hammer out 10 levels in Final Fantasy in just like a number of, you know, maybe 2 days, when all of a sudden you're kind of stuck grouping until 75. You know?
Which I'm a fan of.
Yeah, we have mixed feelings on this. We've had this conversation on and off for the entire day about solo versus group online games.
I think WoW ruined you, if that's really how you feel now.
No, it's not that they need complete solo single-player game like that. It's they need a healthy balance of both of them.
There needs to be something for you to do when you're soloing.
Right, and farming is a great thing to do. Plus, a quest line that takes you forever is a great thing to do. The problem is none of these games have that. They have World of Warcraft, where you have 1 to 60, and everything in between is solo. You get to 60, and all of a sudden you're expected to be thrown into groups, or you basically wither and die in this game, because there's nothing else you can do.
And you have, like, 10 or 15 instances slashed around through there that you can go to.
They're not solo.
No.
They're little, small five-man groups, you know, instances now, anyway, thanks to the recent patch. But they're kind of a joke. You know, these little tiny places like that. You've been doing them for a year and a half. Blizzard's version of content for the they call them casual. I call it non-raider player is okay. We'll keep the zones exactly the same, and we'll cut the number of people you can take into them. That's their version of like a content expansion for the non-raid player. You know, whereas we get these new raid zones off and on. We had a whole server. Like, what the hell would you call it? The AQ thing. It's like a whole giant thing for the server. Like a...
Event.
You know, for the people that do raids, for 20 and 40 man raids. You know, you can't get that kind of thing for the small player, and yet you should. You should have a healthy mix of both. Now, one thing I can't see is how people are still playing this with, like, 5 raid instances. I can't figure that out, and if somebody actually has an answer to that, please let me know. I could not go through the same 5 instances over and over and over.
For a year?
For over a year now? No way. No way. That drives me insane.
Originally, they had, what, 1?
Molten Core?
Yeah.
Jesus God. You people are sick in the head.
Beyond, you know, Skolo and Strat and...
Right.
Those are the ones you do when you're first 60.
Right.
As far as
It's almost like you're learning to group when you're in those places. You know, it really is. Okay, compared to the people that I've seen in there recently, they're learning to group, I assure you.
This is what I'm saying. If it is perfectly viable to solo from 1 to 60, it's not a good group game. It should take you 6 years if you're going to solo and solo only.
No.
Solo is something to do when you're LFG. That's what soloing is. If you don't like it, go play Oblivion. Get out of my game.
All right. We'll have to touch on this later. Like, we'll have to have like a good half an hour in-depth conversation about... about how some of this works, because it's pretty interesting. I'm fascinated by the mechanics of these kind of games and the mentality of the players. It really, there's something special about it, and it's just unique, I guess, to our little world here of video games. You know, you don't have this with anything else. You don't have a bunch of like people working on cars that get into the whole philosophy of car fixing. They don't do it. They're like, you have the manual? I need part X. Great. Let me put it in.
I am a huge armchair developer.
Guild Wars and EVE Online. This is an email from Frozen Walkway. About the EVE Online thing in 114, almost, I'd say, about 85 to 95% of the game is player-made run/insert verb, whatever. So, okay, it's player everything in this game. The example you said about the infiltration, basically you make a corporation. You can make allies and enemies with other player-run corporations. That's the important part there. You can make allies and enemies with other player-run corporations. A corporation is basically a guild, but it takes the infrastructure of it to the extreme. Now, I only played the 14-day trial, but it's a very different kind of MMO, because you can level while not playing. Hey, this is perfect for somebody in this room.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You can level while not playing. Yes, you level with time, not with killing shit. Now, you're saying, what the fuck... when the oldest veteran must be uber elite, well, not really. Every skill which you can buy at the market. Okay, so you buy all your skills at the market. Every skill has 5 levels. 1 takes like an hour. 2 takes like 3 hours. Time depends on natural attributes. Level 3 takes like 17 hours. 4 takes like a couple days. A week, and level 5, I haven't gotten that far. They actually made an estimate of how long it would take to level every skill, and which came to about 3 years. The thing about the bounty, people can place bounties on people themselves. I'm not sure about the higher amounts, but you can do it if you have the money. I've seen a guy with over a 10 million bounty. The economy is very balanced and uninflate for what you get. Probably uninflated for what you get. All player set prices, all player made items.
So hold on a second. I gotta go back to the leveling thing again. Each person who started on day one
has a monster jump on everybody else?
No, it's exactly the same as everybody, it's at the exact same experience level as everyone else who started on day one.
No, it sounds like when you start and you pick your skills, they start leveling.
Right.
So, like, if I started today, I'd be a year behind on my leveling.
Right, but I'm saying every single person who bought the game,
all of those people,
day one, started up the game, they're all at the exact same level. And always have been.
No, because they picked different skills.
So different skills level at different times?
No. Like, let's say you can take backstab versus something like, a shield bash. I'm not going to take a shield bash. Maybe you did. Our new tank.
I understand.
I mean,
level-wise, we'll put numbers on it.
Is there levels? It sounds like there's only skills.
But the skills still level up.
Right. I don't know. That would be very
numbers on it. Is every single person who started on day one level 30?
Thank you. I think you just volunteered to try out the 14-day trial so we could get an answer on that. Captain Endgame here needs to try a new MMO because he's sick of WoW. He hates Guild Wars. He doesn't want to play Final Fantasy anymore because we got over that. He's over EverQuest 2. Whatever happened with that, anyway? You just, kind of stopped playing EQ2 over, it was weird. It wasn't even, a big event for you. It was like you just kind of went downhill. The rest was sudden.
Yeah. I was just starting to get pissed off about them changing everything.
Right, okay. Maybe, I don't know, it sounds like they've found their identity now, though.
Which is good.
Which is scary, though, because I'm thinking, damn, I had a fuck of a good time in that game. I really did. I had a goddamn blast. I just wish I played with more people I knew. Or, like, a set group of people, anyway. Anyhow. All right. Anyway, I think you should check it out. It's, thing is very hard to get into. Hardcore soloing is a no-go. If you plan on paying for this game, then you're going to have to either make or join a corporation. On ending notes, you can also become a pirate group and kill random people in player-made raids and shit. When I mean player-made raids, I mean guys running around in a group killing everyone on sight. Key things also about this MMO, it has one server. That's about 15 to 23,000 players on one server. Granted, they made Space World really convincing. Sorry if I didn't explain this game too well. Not great at writing emails, reviews. Hell, I'm not a good writer, period. Make more shows. We're trying. No, maybe it wasn't the perfect example or explanation, but it's certainly enlightening, and I certainly know a lot more about this game than I did. And it sounds more... Now I kind of see more why people are playing this game. I couldn't figure out why before. What was so good about EVE Online? Mm-hmm. There was never... Nobody could actually pinpoint it for me. This helps demystify the whole EVE Online thing for me. I'm not quite sure if I'll ever get around to playing, and it doesn't sound like my style, but it does sound like it has some interesting ideas that I would definitely like to take a look at.
The whole leveling thing really kind of bothers me.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I don't know what to think about that.
So, I mean,
I'll have to see how that works or something, or you will or something. I mean,
so
it's not
you can just like buy it and like... I'll play it in a couple years. Yeah. I'll be burly then.
No, I'm sure you have to keep up on new things and maybe new skills, and maybe your skill gets to a point where you change the skill or something. I have no idea.
Yeah.
We got to find somebody who maybe we can get on the show to talk about it, you know?
Like someone who's actually played for more than just the 14-day.
Right. Well, I mean, even the 14-day trial, I guess you get a pretty good example of how it works and everything, a pretty good eye on things. But let's see here. The last email is from GeoKing, the next level in gaming. Now, I about wet myself when I read this email because this is just awesome here. Okay, this was a story on Slashdot, and somehow I missed it. Basically, the clip from Slashdot is something called a Virtue Sphere. Virtue Sphere provides a mechanical basis for truly immersive virtual reality environments, permitting the user to move about in virtual space by simply walking. The device consists of a large hollow sphere, which is mounted on a specially designed platform that allows the sphere to rotate freely as the user walks in any direction. The user wears a head-mounted display, which provides the virtual environment. The website is virtusphere.com, VirtuSphere.com. Now, this is basically a giant ball.
It's a hamster ball.
Right.
on a platform so you don't walk around the house.
Right, that's exactly what it is, and that's exactly what I have wanted, I guess.
What I don't understand is, in order for this thing to work, the computer would have to be mounted to your back.
Wireless, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
You could do wireless. It's got a little head-mounted display. There's a picture of a guy with, like, a fake MP5 inside of it, and he's got, like, a head-mounted display, and he's, like, walking in this little thing. I guess there's only, like, 18 of them in the whole world that are created so far, but this opens the door, you know, for more things, like arcades, and this will be the first step, I think, towards this in-home virtual reality. Now, for the last number of years, I've been tooling around with this idea in my head. How would you get the travel down in these games? Like, if you're trying to play something like, you know, whether it's an MMO where you do a lot of fucking walking, or whether it's a game like, you know, say, Counter-Strike, where you're doing, you know, short bursts of running, maybe. How would you get around that? And I keep coming across this really twisted idea of, like, hanging yourself from the ceiling so you're, like, weightless, you know, and the head thing you use and the little probes that I have envisioned kind of sticking in your nose and, you know, on your temples and shit. Fool your body into actually thinking you're doing that, whereas you're not going anywhere in the real world because you're suspended from your ceiling in your living room.
Well, I imagine if we ever get true virtual reality, they'll just figure out how to turn off sending the information to your legs.
Okay.
So you'll send the thing to say move your legs, but you'll move the game legs instead of your real ones.
Right, and I'm sure that's a lot closer to what we'll actually see, but I don't know. I don't know. But the idea comes across, you know, an awful lot. And I bet we're not the only ones out there who think about this. You know, gamers all over the place are sitting there at some point in their day.
Daydreaming.
Exactly. You know,
someday.
How am I going to do this? How am I going to, you know, hell yes. Someday. That is
I'll put
the
giant jack in the back of my head.
Whatever it takes. I'll put it in my dick if I have to. I don't care. Put it wherever you want. You put it where the sun don't shine. I will stake this claim right now, okay? If that's what it takes.
I'll shit in a bag from the side of my body.
Whatever it takes, wherever you have to put it, just do it so I can get out of here, okay? This is what I've worked towards my whole life. Now, as far as news goes, the only really kind of interesting thing that wasn't fake came from like a week ago that we just blew over last week, I guess. Nintendo has signed up 1,000 games that were not Nintendo games to play on the Revolution. And this is Genesis games, these are from Sega, and more games from Hudson Soft for any... Remember the TurboGrafx 16?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they've got 1,000 games now between those two, I guess, that are going to be playable on the Nintendo Revolution.
Which is interesting.
Very interesting.
I would have never expected non-Nintendo products to be...
Me neither.
...playing on an... On Nintendo.
Me neither. My concern for this console has suddenly shifted. I was really afraid for a long time. I thought, oh my god, the hardware is going to suck. Nobody's going to buy it because it's not the latest, greatest thing. And then I thought, Christ, it's Nintendo. They're going to give us one Zelda and one Mario, and we're going to like it. I got over that because, you know, I like them. I wind up playing those one games, and I feel okay with myself. I play the Mario Kart game. I play the Mario Brothers game. I play the F-Zero game. You know, I play like the 5 or 10 games that they put out that are staples of my gaming diet since I was like, you know, a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. Then we saw the Revolution stuff, and we saw the controller. I was so happy and so blown away, and I thought they could do no wrong. And now I'm starting to wonder if they're like really screwing up here. Are they coming out with a console or an emulator? I mean, honest to God, I mean, really.
You know what makes me worried about this news? Is you got a bunch of people over at corporate Nintendo going, shit, guys, we got to do something. We need more. What the hell can we do to have more? And they're just, like, scrambling.
They probably are freaking out. I would be. I would be just out of my mind. I'd be, like, beating up stuffed Mario dolls in my office every day, cursing him. Why do you have to be so gay? Can't you be more hardcore? I mean, seriously, you've ruined us. Come on. I don't know. Nintendo does need to do something. They need to figure this out really quick or they're going to die. Okay? They can't have this many losses in a row. You can't do it before you... Well, it's hard to say because Nintendo does make a lot of money on their handheld stuff.
They have not lost yet. They have made money on every single product they have ever put out.
They're ahead on the GameCube?
Yeah.
I'd like to see by how far.
We did the numbers on this show.
I remember reading it, but... Oh, man, I couldn't tell you, but how much did they pay for that? It wasn't how much they made, was it? I want to know, minus operating costs, how well they're doing.
The thing says they made money on... First of all, they made money on every single piece of equipment.
Well, hardware, but they always have.
Okay. And they did better across the world, even on just the GameCube, than the Xbox did.
That's right.
Huh? And people call the GameCube a flop.
That's right. See, I'm calling it a flop right now. Why? Because my Xbox got more mileage than my GameCube did, and I can't figure that out.
But, sales-wise, Nintendo has yet to flop. People keep saying, oh my god, they've had so many failures. No, they haven't had a failure yet. They've just been less
successful
than the PlayStation.
Right. I guess that's what I'm comparing it to. I want to see them back on top. I want to see Nintendo come back and just whoop everybody's ass. And I don't think they're going to do it with greatest hits from Sega.
No.
They're not going to do it with Bonk's Adventure on the TurboGrafx 16, revolutionized, because it's not going to be any different. I don't think they're going to do it with that. I really don't. That's going to help. That'll be a selling point for some people. Those people are people who've never heard of emulation before. You know? Seriously, people? You know?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, the little kids don't want to play games.
No,
from,
they
from
don't.
96.
Have you tried to sit down a little kid in front of a game like that? Yeah. They laugh at you. You're like, check this out, buddy. This is fucking, you know, A Link to the Past. Arguably one of the best Zelda games, you know, there ever was. And I get laughed at. What the fuck is that shit, you know? And I'm like, fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about, you little bastard. Go away. I swear to God, it's going to sell it to people like us that are already sold on Nintendo, I think. We like them. We want them to win. We're going to buy their shit. We like to play their games. We enjoy them. We enjoy these old games, too. We're already sold.
I am also concerned about having to buy 6 million different little attachments to that controller.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre.
The idea is great. If they start coming with the games and they're still $50...
Right. Sold.
Fantastic. But
that's
if I have
the
to start
to
spending...
That.
20 extra bucks on attachments here
and
it's Nintendo,
so it's going to be the attachment for X game that you're buying.
Right, but ever since the N64, anytime they've added an attachment to their system, it's come with the game. Both the RAM,
right, huh?
The RAM thing, the Rumble Pack, all that stuff came with the game that first came out for it.
That's true, that's a very good point. Well, did we have a whole lot of attachments for the Cube? We had the Wavebirds, which weren't attachments.
No,
they were
just a different.
They were a different. Yeah, they were
I don't
major.
Think there were any real.
There was the GameCube cord thing. I mean, the Game Boy cord thing, but that wasn't really so much of a requirement to play most
right.
things either.
That's also not a. It wasn't a requirement.
They
to
didn't
play
really
anything.
Have shit for this, did they?
No.
How weird. And then they put out shit like the Ethernet adapter that I have for mine. It's never been used for the two games that work with it. You know, come on, Nintendo. That's scary too.
Okay, but the N64, the Rumble Pack, the RAM adjustment, all that came with games.
Yeah,
so,
I remember that. Star Fox and Blast Corps?
No. The memory stick came with Donkey Kong.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say movies. No, we got a game. Oblivion. Discuss. Oblivion finally came out. This is the Elder Scrolls 4. Came out maybe like 2 weeks ago now? A week and a half ago, I guess?
Something like that.
Right. The game that everybody's upgrading their goddamn computers for to make sure they can play this game.
Which my computer plays.
Surprisingly enough, you were very shocked. I remember you telling me that you thought that it wasn't going to play with a shit.
I was going to bend over and just absolutely cornhole my computer.
Cornhole. Mine gets pretty fucked up by this game. It really does.
Well, now I have all my shit set way low. Like my
oh,
video
I let
card,
mine detect it, and I just kind of left it alone.
Well, yeah, my video card does not even support that HDR or
oh, okay,
HDA
right,
or whatever
right.
it is. Like, I can't even click it. It's
oh,
grayed
the
out.
Rendering thing?
Yeah.
Right.
And
okay.
And I have, you know, I have the texture set in a medium right in the middle. I have my clipping planes medium. My resolutions that, like, I think I have to leave it at, like, 800 by 600.
Right.
But it doesn't look terrible. It doesn't look nearly as what it's supposed to.
Right.
But it doesn't look terrible, and I get, like, 30 frames per second out of it.
Cool. Even during, like, a combat when you're outside looking around?
I have yet to get in close combat.
Right.
Because...
Okay,
Hold on.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there, because I want to do this in the order of how this experience goes, you know?
Okay.
I went out and bought it. Release day, got my hands on the Collector's Edition, so fucking happy. Couldn't wait to play it. Somehow managed to not play it for like 2 or 3 days. Didn't even look at it. Finally get around to installing it. There's not a lick of copy protection on this thing. It's fantastic.
No.
You know,
CD key?
Yeah, there's no CD key either.
No.
What the fuck? Comes on a DVD... You know, or at least the collector's edition did.
You can copy the DVD so that you have a backup so
yeah.
you don't burn your disc.
Works just fine.
And there's no crack needed.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And the game is flying off the shelves. It really is. I cannot believe. I mean, we put more out there and they're gone. Bam. So, I get all excited again. I go, oh, I gotta play this game. I've been waiting for so long. I'm finally ready. I'm pissed off. World of Warcraft can blow me. Let's do this. So, of course, you know, I fire the game up and right away I notice this game just... Tanks my poor computer. The auto detect settings on mine picked up 1024 by 768 and whatever the hell for the. I mean, I honestly didn't even look. I didn't even look at the settings because I assumes it does a pretty good job. I fool around with the character creator, and no matter no amount of time on there, I can make a decent looking person. Honest to God, everything I make comes out like Yoda. It's fucking terrible. I mean, and I spent like 2 hours.
No, see, the problem, that's your problem, because the longer you spend on it, the worse it gets. I did that with the first guy, and I'm just sitting there. And the more you fiddle with these sliders, he just gets more and more grotesque looking.
It's horrible.
So I just spent like the second time I scrapped that, I started over, and I just like moved a few things, you know, make his eyes a little smaller, change his hair color and skin and whatnot, and done.
That was it, huh?
You start changing the pigments of
yeah,
his skin and
oh
stuff.
Oh god, that
and
was.
He gets like this white chin. And
yeah.
Like blood red around his eyes.
Trying to make a chick, they have like a faded in goatee no matter what you do. You know, it's just the crazy. I mean, it was horrible, horrible experience. I had to throw away the whole idea of a dark elf. I kept coming up with Yoda no matter what I did. And I was trying to make a female just to see. I wanted to see if I could make like hot chicks out of it.
Right.
You can't do it. You can't. You can do it with the EQ2 creator.
Right.
I didn't have too many problems with that one. On this game, it's pretty powerful. More powerful than the EverQuest 2 character creator.
To its detriment. It's
right.
Too powerful in the wrong ways.
Yeah.
Or something.
I'm not so sure quite what's wrong with it, but it doesn't work very well. And I cannot make a visually appealing anything. I've tried Beast Men or whatever those things are, and I can't do it. Everything looks like ass, and I'm like, okay, fine, I give up. So I made a, you know, hit random a couple times on, like, the most normal-looking, like, wood elf or whatever I had.
The devs did it. The NPCs in the world mostly
Oh, yeah,
don't
they look
bad.
Fine, don't they? Yeah, I noticed that. They look like real people.
I bet you they used the same exact tools.
They probably did. They're probably just really skilled.
Yeah.
So, I think it's terrible, but... So... I gave up on it and basically let it random me, a fairly simple, plain-looking person that I tweaked just here and there and made this awesome fucking bright red hair. It's fucking just beautiful. And made my character and yada yada. So I'm looking at the character creator screen runs at 15 frames a second. I mean, it's like, ooh.
Seriously?
It was brutal on my machine for some reason, yeah. It was bad. Oh, no, wait a minute. That was your box. That was no, that wasn't mine. Mine was like 30. Hers was like 15 frames with a 5900 Ultra. This is a 6800 stock, and I was getting 2730.
That's your problem. You don't get the base video card. You get the
this
XT.
That's what I need to get. I know is the fat one, the one with the
that has all the pipes.
Right, exactly. I got the neutered version, and I couldn't afford the fat one. Is what happened.
You should from now on. You get the grade below, but the fat version of it.
Right. Well, yeah, like the GT, not the GTX.
No. I mean, like, instead of getting the 68, you would have gotten the 67, but got the GTX version.
Oh, I see. Oh, right.
Because like, then you get all the pipelines.
Right, I see what you're saying. See, and I fired the game up anyway, and you start out in a dungeon, or in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything interesting about that at all to you? That
no.
was done in every game.
Right.
So.
Which I still don't understand.
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever, their thing. So... And now, the same thing for me. Her machine was getting, like, 12 to 15 frames. It was brutal. Chop city. And mine was a little bit better. It was at least smooth when I walked around. I got characters on the screen, though, and the game started to tank bad. Like, all of a sudden, it just goes down fucking hill.
See, mine worked perfectly fine. Now, again, my graphics setting are way lower than what you had it set at.
Oh, okay, yeah, they must have been. Like, I need to fiddle with it. I don't really have that performance complaints, really, about this game.
I'm out in the field on some mountain looking a mile out, and I can still...
I get 10 frames out
and
there.
And I can still move perfectly fine.
See, I get 10 frames out there, but it's because I tried fooling around with the visual distance, and I cannot tolerate not being able to see as far off as I possibly can.
See, mine's at, like, half.
Right. I tried half, and it feels like I'm going to fall off the edge of the world if I take two steps. It feels like it's just like the end of the world is right there. But, dude, if you turn that all the way up...
It's far.
Holy shit.
It is
it, far. It's almost like you can detect the curvature in the earth, you know? It's just badass, you know? And it feels like a really alive place. They finally got, and I'm going to say, this is the closest I've ever seen foliage to look real. You know when you play a game like EverQuest 2, when their version of foliage is like a flat one side, you know, two-sided like texture that's just like a straight line that they put a place for it, and it's like a random angle,
mm-hmm.
and they just put quite a few in there, and it looks like ass no matter what you do.
Yeah.
This, it looked like I was checking. Did you have yours turned on or off or your foliage stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, doesn't it look like you're trekking through, like, knee-deep in shit all the time?
No.
Mine does.
Yeah, yours does, but that's one of the things I have, like, basically off.
Oh, dude, it's badass.
Well, yeah, my computer can't handle that.
You gotta check it out, though.
That's what is causing your problem.
I know, because I turned it way down, and I had this little circle of stuff that followed me. Because you can change...
That's what I have.
You can change the draw distance of the foliage, and it's funny as shit, because I have it follow me now. But it looks terrible. I couldn't play it like that. I had to put it far enough out that I didn't see it pop up on me all the time. The game is visually jaw-dropping. I mean, it's just amazing what you can get the engine for this to do. It's seriously badass, and it looks so goddamn good. My only flaw with that foliage is you can still see that it's, like, flat shit. As soon as they can get, like, you know, minor load-count polygonal foliage spread like that, you know, we're going to be a little bit better off. It still isn't quite right here. But it's like 80% of looking real. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the water effects and stuff, this game is amazing. My guy can walk on water at level 1, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is he the Jesus?
I wanted to mention that. Yeah, I haven't found any little kids yet, though, but I'm still looking. It's okay, so you start out in the jail, you're thrown in jail for whatever reason. The whole story behind this was, so far anyway, you're sitting there for a minute, some guy comes down and says something to you, I can't remember what the hell he said now.
It depends on what race you are.
Oh, that's right, because I remember seeing it different on hers, right.
It's the guy in the other cell, and he's just basically taunting you.
Right, it was kind of, yeah.
Like, ha ha ha, I'm getting out, yeah. You're going to be here the rest of your life.
So then the king comes down with two guards, and he's escaping because his heirs have all been killed by assassins. The king has to escape, and it turns out that the escape thing is in your cell. I think we even covered this before a couple shows ago. So anyway, he opens the door, and he takes off with his two guards, and you're left locked in your cell with that only way out.
And the king is Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Patrick motherfucking Stewart.
I was sitting there going, I've heard this voice before from the USS. So I walk down this hallway, and I'm getting great frames when I'm down in the dungeon, man. I'll tell you what, this game runs spectacular when I'm down in the dungeon. You know, I'm closed in. The way that your character interacts with the world was absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. You can bump into shit and knock it off the table. You can, like, slap shit on the walls. Like, if you punch it, it moves and shakes. Did you do any of that?
Mm-hmm.
Were you shooting your arrow into the bucket like on the demo? That shit is as good as they say it is. This is the good stuff. This kind of stuff makes your dick hard. It's what you want, right? I mean, there's so much good about this. You're walking around astounded at the video quality. 15 minutes in, I shut the game down, pulled up my favorite site, and I'm sure most people's favorite site for hardware and stuff, Newegg.com,
mm-hmm.
Ordered myself a 7900, whatever the hell it was, like $330-some-odd card, the BFG fucking whatever it is, 7900 GT something, I think, whatever it is. I was so happy, right? Don't have the money to pay for this, but it didn't matter. I get to play Oblivion finally, right? So I fire the game back up, and I start, you know, killing things other than rats, you know, and you get to the point where you're like helping the guards or whatever, you're like with them and they're killing dudes and you're kind of watching the combat,
mm-hmm.
and you can loot them. And I'm like picking up little things, I'm like, oh, this is fucking cool, man, I already got a mace, I got a fucking sword, I got a dagger, fuck yeah, I'm gonna use some daggers and my bow and arrow, yeah, this is the shit. And the king and stuff take off, and they go through a passageway that I can't get through, so now I have to go somewhere else, and I'm wandering around this cave, and it's creepy as fuck, and I got spells, so I'm tooling around with the spells. The spell effects are fucking out of this world. They are really cool. And I'm starting to work with the interface a little bit more now. You know, rather than more than just walk and swing my sword,
mm-hmm.
and more than just walk and cast a spell, all of a sudden I pick up too much gear. You know, I killed a guy or whatever, and I picked up his sword, and it's all, you are encumbered. Okay. I need to drop the sword. I need to drop a mace, some bones, whatever it is that I need to drop. And I had to get a really good tutorial of the interface all of a sudden, which is absolute garbage. Warmed up and then ran over again.
I did not have nearly the problem as you did with the
I can sum up my problem with this game in one sentence. Combat takes 2 seconds. Navigating your menu to find the item that you looted from the guy takes 17 minutes. Okay? Honest to God, why is it so bad?
It's not that bad.
It is. Have you had a pile of shit and taken it to a vendor to sell?
Yeah.
Right. And you have 17 rat meats, and you go click, and he says, that's not a good deal. And you need to, like, adjust how much he'll pay you. You need to, like, barter with the guy. But he's a jackass. So you...
Well, you have to make him like you more.
Right, and you have that little game. You have that stupid little game that you can do, that little mini-game type deal with the thing. I did not get along.
The pie.
Yeah, I did not get along with that at all. No? I'm so dropping that. Oh, and I made my own class, right? That was kind of cool. I made a ninja.
Uh-huh.
It's all, are you sure you want to be a ninja?
The only thing about that is it uses whatever...
Graphic
the guy recommended for you.
Right. I noticed that. That's cool with me. My guy was like a thief, smuggler type, whatever. I made my guy, I just called it a ninja because thief was taken, assassin was taken, and I didn't like any of the skills they had. But it was awesome because, like the other games, you get to pick your class basically by just whatever you want and whatever you do. It's pretty cool. You know, there's no, like, essentially just an experience system. You just say, I want these skills to be better than those skills, and this is how I'm going to play the game. This is what I like to do, so this is what I'm going to do. You know, it's really cool. You get to pick all that while you're in the first dungeon, probably in the first maybe 30 minutes of play, you know? And you get to fight guys with some pretty cool magical spells. That shaman guy with the lightning bolt deal, fuck my day up, damn near killed me. There's some pretty neat things. You come to this part in the very beginning. I don't want to blow anything too far into the game, but we only got to a certain point anyway. But the stealth is a little rinky-dink. I don't really like the way the stealth works too much in the game.
No,
I haven't quite gotten used to it yet, I think.
I accidentally hit the stealth button once.
So the interface, though, I've got to touch on this without bitching too much about this, because we've got a couple guys that have been playing this game on IRC that are trying to find a state where it's legal to marry this game, because it's that good. However, I can't play the game because I can't stand the way it operates. I go to this guy to sell, okay? My problem wasn't even that I had to barter with him. You know, essentially I would just bring it down to a point where I would find it's okay, and that's fine by me, because you get so much crap-ass, ridiculous fucking loot. You click sell item, and it's like, okay, here's like, you know, 2 gold pieces or whatever. And then it's like, I had to like go through it multiple times to sell like the same thing. Is there like a sell all 17 things button?
Yeah, I think so.
Was there? I couldn't figure it out. So I'm like... sell rat meat, yes, for 3 gold, yes, okay, thank you, terrific, the guy, and he would say something after each fucking sale, and you've got sheets, pages. This is my other problem with the game. You have pages of inventory, pages, like a website page, not like multiple pages. You have like a giant list that is astronomical in size. Now granted, they try to help you by breaking it up into what, like spell reagents, weapons, armor, useless, more garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, and you don't know where
and
stuff
you can
goes.
Click the button that only shows that category.
Right. So you can see just that. But okay, here's the problem. That interface has Xbox 360 written all over it.
Oh, certainly.
Okay, and this is where I got really angry with the game. It feels almost like your mouse was an afterthought to the game. You know, as if you don't really need the mouse there.
It is unfortunate that Morrowind was built for the PC and then ported to the Xbox. Oblivion does feel like it was made for the Xbox and then ported to the PC.
It definitely does. And
although, it does control a lot better than most games that are made for a console and
okay,
ported.
Okay, right. I'll give you that. I did not run into control problems. Now, everybody knows that listens to the show, I am a huge freak when it comes to controller issues on games. Because if it doesn't control, like it's, you know, you, I freak out. Like, if it's not a no-brainer to control, I have an issue with it because I can't configure it and make it how I want. I had some problems with the configuration. I could not speed up my mouse how I wanted it to be. Like, I wanted it to be a certain speed in the game world and a certain speed on my menus because it's so fucking terrible to navigate these menus. And then I got to thinking, has anybody tried a controller on this yet? I'm going to try it, because I have a 360 controller. I'm going to hook up to my computer and see if it works. And if it doesn't, I'm suing somebody, okay? Because this is bullshit, all right? This game, now here is what first tipped me off. The print in this game is gigantic. Like, the text is obviously meant to be displayed on your television, okay? So what I'm saying is, the game world itself is the absolute most beautiful thing, you know, you've ever seen, ever laid eyes on, hands down. Rendered at whatever the hell resolution that you can get your computer to push this game at. At 1024 by 768 looks goddamn impressive. Okay, and I'm getting myself all hot and bothered here. I'm going to want to show you what, you know, some of the things are just to see, I don't know how different it is for you.
Well, I'm sure it's very different looking.
I don't know. But in my version of it, the game world is absolutely just astounding. And I was so happy with the game until I started working with the interface, which looks like it's rendered at like 640 by 480.
Yeah, the interface is all, like, grainy.
And huge.
It's, like, even more grainy and whatnot than what the game world is for me.
Right, right. And no, okay, the game world for me looks like it's a fucking photograph that I walked outside and took.
Right.
Honest to God. Yet, all of a sudden, you pull up the menu, and it looks like you're seriously playing an old, like, VGA-style game.
So
you know,
mine just has less of an exaggeration because right, the game world doesn't look as good.
Right, right. So, like, whereas, you know, you walk up to a tree and it maybe fills most of your screen, that tree, for me, fills maybe half of the screen, yet my menu still takes up the whole giant fucking thing with these giant characters. Like, words are huge, and I have to scroll for a short sentence, you know? This dog has fleas. You gotta scroll to read that because, you know, the print is so huge. Why can't they have the interface render at 1024 by 768? And things would look a lot cleaner. Also, did it look like they used about four, maybe six colors on the menus? Everything's brown and beige.
Red,
and there's that like reddish color that there's. I've noticed that too. That's it. That's all there is. What happened to the nice, pretty, colorful stuff that I, you know, or even detailed same color stuff? It's not. It's not. And to get a good example of what almost everything in the game looks like, go to our forums. Right? And find any post by me. And in my signature currently, I have a screenshot of where it says, "Are you sure you want to be a ninja?" Mm-hmm. I thought it was hilarious. So I took a screenshot of it. But essentially, that, and now I reduced the size of that, like 50%, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to, like, you know, if you've got an image editing program, save it, enlarge that image by 50%, and that's what the fucking menus look like in this game. It's crap. I reduced it so it looks nice, you know, at least for a signature size, to it's a little bit smaller, and it made it look considerably better. Why can't I get that to render differently? And I bet somebody's going to kick my ass and say, "I bet there's a slider for that, you stupid fuck," and I just never saw it, but I looked. I didn't see shit, because I did not have enough options in this game.
You know, a lot of times, there's shit in the INI file.
Yeah, that you can do by hand.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can do.
I read already there's something about the foliage where you can make it less dense, but still draw way out.
Oh, nice. That would be the solution.
And so that you can still get the good the good draw distance and better performance.
I told myself I wasn't going to talk about this game much, and I was going to let you do most of the talking about it, because I didn't want to complain about a good game. The game is a good game. The little time that I spent, I have a few complaints, though. Like, the combat takes... I have killed everything I fight in two hits max.
I have a problem with the actual gameplay. I'm a playing a mage type character, and everything I have run across, I hit my little fireball, and it flies back in a burning ball of flame.
How sick is that, though?
Well, it's awesome, but every single time, it doesn't matter what the hell I'm fighting, whoosh, dead,
yeah.
Whoosh, dead, whoosh, dead.
Yeah.
There's no challenge.
Right.
Nothing ever comes even remotely close to me. 99% of the time, the enemies I'm fighting don't even know I'm there.
No, you're there. Do you get a damage bonus with spells for that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, my guy, I do. I'm all thief specked out, whatever. So, of course, I sneak around a lot, and I walk hella slow. But I'll come up on an enemy, and of course they don't see me, you know, because it's hella far away. And I shoot them with my bow. That's 99% of my combat has been with my bow. Which, I didn't like the idea of that at first. I wanted to walk up and stab shit in the back, but that's near impossible.
Mm.
So fuck that shit. I can shoot it from a mile away, and it's all, like, you know, surprise attack bonus, times 3 damage. And
nothing ever says that.
Oh, okay. Now this tells me every single time I shoot something. And oh my fucking god, I have blown away the biggest stuff. I haven't run across, like, giant creatures or anything yet, but some pretty burly-looking stuff that I don't think I should be fighting yet, because I got hella lost, you know, walking around going, "Hey, what's in this cave?" And then I found this fucking amulet, dude. Like, right off the bat. Like, I come out of the sewers, right? It's where you come out of the sewers. And I go in this other cave. I got totally lost. And I kill some guy, and he drops some amulet, and it allows me to walk on water. And I was like, well, that was a short game. I'm Jesus now. This game sure is beautiful. And essentially, I haven't played it beyond going into the town, which we'll get to as soon as you talk more about the spells and whatnot. Because I don't use... My guy sucks balls at spells, so I only do them for fucking effect. Every now and again, I want to see some fireball action. Every now and again, I want to see some cool... You know, the mob gets blown away and just scorched.
See, I have quite a few spells because I started doing the whole mage guild quest.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
And you go in there, and they have all these alchemy stuff, like, everywhere on these shelves. And you're allowed to take them. It's not stealing.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm taking like these 100 gold things off every shelf in every mage guild all over the world. Because I can just port from one to the next. So I have this massive amounts of money. And so I'm just buying spells left and right. And so I have a lot of them. And like, some of them are pretty cool. I hate how you can only have one. Like, you have this eight button macro.
That is crap.
And I can only have one targeted to cast. I mean, obviously you're only casting one.
Right.
But
essentially what he's trying to say is there is no single button cast. It's two buttons for everything unless it's your one picked thing.
Right. So yeah, you have to hit like F, like one. Is it F or is it just the number?
It's the number keys.
Okay. So you have to hit one, now you can cast your fireball. Now you have to remember.
Right, because it doesn't... No, it shows you. It shows you. Okay, it doesn't show the wheel. It shows you what you have selected. Right.
Right, just what I have had.
Right.
What I'm currently casting.
Got it.
So now I have to remember, what the hell is my heal spell? Not that I've ever had to heal myself. But what the hell is my heal spell? Or my buff spell, or whatever.
Right, right.
And oh my god, the buff spells are annoying as all shit. Every buff I have is like 30 seconds max.
Ugh.
So I'm sitting there, buff, back to fireball, running along, waiting for something to kill. Oh, here we go, buff, back to fireball, running again.
I did get killed once.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I just remembered, I got jumped by a bandit somewhere.
What happens?
You just load your game.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was it. Yeah, I it was such a shock, I didn't know what to do, and I was still noobing it up at the time. But, like, I was level 2 at the time, and I was walking somewhere... And I walked through this place, and I should have known. I mean, it looked like you were going to get jumped there, and I thought to myself, well, this would be a great place if, give me all your money, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And this guy beat me. I couldn't hit him was my problem. Like, I just could not do any damage. But my guy doesn't use his weapons for shit. I didn't get the jump on him, so I lost, basically.
I was out traveling around, just on the road somewhere. I don't even remember why I was running, because you don't have to run anywhere. You can port to
I don't understand that either. I don't see how that works yet. I haven't been able to port anywhere.
What? You hit the map and you click on one of the things.
Okay, the map, though, which you have to hit the same button to pull up the one menu that has all of your options.
No, hit M.
Roll over to... Oh, okay, there is a hotkey for it. Oh, thank God. Okay, because
you do have to sit there and scroll across this little tiny window.
Okay. I kept doing the pulling up the one menu you have and going over to clicking your tab, right, and going down to the bottom right-hand corner, little map interface deal, and going, this is so retarded.
No, you hit M and it puts you up to the map.
It
and then
made me want
to
cry.
You scroll to where town you want to go to, and you just click on the town.
And you have to have been there before.
No.
You can just warp anywhere you want.
Any major town. And there's like 10 of them situated very strategically all over the world.
Right, so you're close to everywhere.
You're close to everywhere. And then once you've been to all the little places, then you can port to them. Like once you've been to this little tiny cave nowhere, now you can port this.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's incredibly retarded.
It is.
That sucks ass.
Because I like... to explore, but no one likes to explore so much that they're not going to give up a free port.
Right. There's nobody that gets off on the same trek from town A to town B that they're not just going to port there.
And that's fine. I like ports to major towns.
Right.
You have to go there first.
Right, exactly. There should
you have to earn that port.
Right. There should be a quest. There should be something. Get there and talk to the king. Do a quest for the king. At the very least, go there yourself for the first time.
Something.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, the rest of my story, I was running around, and I ran across some guy that was like, hey, give me your money. And I was like, no, F you. So I load up my fireball number 2 now.
Oh, okay.
I don't use this much because it's a waste of mana, because fireball 1
kills
one kill
everything, right.
So I load up fireball 2, and once again, BAM! Send him into oblivion. It's kind of janky.
That sucks ass.
I mean, I have like 5 hours into this game and have yet to experience even the smallest iota of challenge.
I have. Let's see. Here's something that bothers me. Playing the rogue thief type in all these games, like in every game, I love it. I don't know why. I think it's just the best thing in the world. So I'm used to spending a lot of money. I'm used to paying for my damage. Mm-hmm. The rogue is going to do more damage because he has to pay so much fucking money for those goddamn poisons. That rogue has to fucking shoot things with his arrows that cost you $1 million per the nice arrow, right? I have the same 50 arrows that I started with.
But you can,
pick them up out of the mobs, and you don't even really have a choice in the matter, really.
Because it's part of the loot table.
It's part of the loot table, right. You walk up, click it, take all. Now, that's another one. Why can't there just be like a loot fucking thing? You have to pull up that giant ass menu again and click, and scroll all the way over to click, you know, take all. There's got to be a better way to do this. Now, I haven't tried this yet, but have you seen? Okay, I'm expecting any day now a great mod to come out. I'm praying that somebody does up the interface for this so I can play this game again. Because the interface is, you know, I'm sorry, it's for the Xbox 360 and a controller. Mm-hmm. It's not for the PC and a keyboard and a mouse. It's not.
Although I would much still rather prefer the mouse for both spellcasting and using my bow and arrow.
You can adjust your buttons. I've got my buttons to do all kinds of weird shit now. Like you can make cast. Like I make this shoot and... Oh, no, you don't. You have the one button for the bow, don't you?
Right.
That's
but you
right.
also have to, it'd be more like a console FPS.
Right.
You'd have to use the analog sticks to aim.
Okay, yeah, we kind of glossed over that. What you're saying that maybe didn't get over so clear, okay, remember how he said before that there's that one thing, you have like an action button, basically.
Right.
Okay, now that action button...
It's probably X.
Right, exactly. That action button does whatever action you have selected, which you only can have one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So you either have a spell selected, or your sword, or your bow and arrow, or another spell, or whatever. So it blows, because I would like to be able to stab things.
Well, now, no, there is a cast and attack button.
Is there? I have to use... Oh, you're right. No, I use my mouse for this. I use it... I know why I have problems. I switch between my bow and my swords. And I
those
use
you
those
only get
buttons.
The ones.
Right, that's what my problem is. Because I don't use the spells.
You get physical attack and cast.
And ranged. Right, now why and ranged. I don't have it at the same time. I have to switch.
Right, because bow and arrow is a physical attack.
Right.
So you have physical attack and cast.
Okay. Right. But I can only have my melee... Okay, right, I see what you're saying. Right, but why can't I have a melee swing and a shoot button? It's stupid.
Because you can only have one of them equipped.
Yeah, but in any other game in the world, I'm not swinging and shooting at the same time. I'm saying, why do I have to go under...
You basically could if you had the same button. If you could have them both equipped at the same time and have different buttons...
That's not what I mean, though. I don't mean like equipped and active. I mean like, why can't I say... Like, okay, look at World of Warcraft. I've got a shoot button and a stab things button, and yet I have both of... I have a crossbow equipped and two daggers equipped. Why can't I have a button that I can just click to shoot guys and then not have to change my fucking inventory real quick? You know?
Well, there should be a switch weapons button.
Right. It's the same as your spells, though. It's 1 and 2. You know, well, 1 through 8.
Right.
Right. So I have to flip between 1 and 2 all the time and then use my little stab you button or my shoot you button. Why can't I have a shoot you button and a stab you button and then, you know, I can't use them at the same time, but once maybe I'm done shooting, I can stab if they get close.
The way the combat system works, though, you could. Because you can be swinging your sword, throw out a fireball, and continue swinging your sword.
That'd be way cool, except for the interface doesn't let you do that. Because you have to change so often, right? Well, no, I guess if you've got your melee attack button. See, maybe that's the way to go, is if I went with, like, swords and spells. But I don't want to do that, though. That seems pretty cool, though. Maybe I'll have to go bow and spells, which I think is incredibly lame. But I kill everything in one hit anyway, so...
Well, yeah, and that's just too ranged.
Right.
It's messed up.
It is. It really is. I took on a room full of dudes like that. Seriously, I'm sitting outside the door, and I can pluck one of them off, and the nearby guy doesn't notice. You know, I pop off another round and kill the other guy.
You see, now, once I act, it's over. Everybody knows. Cause
oh, really?
All of a sudden, their buddy bursts into flames and flies against the wall.
So maybe they were just further apart than I thought then. Maybe my mobs were further apart, because I've only had to do it a couple of times. Most of the time, you run across, like, a random crab on the ground, and I just shoot him really quick,
right.
You know? It's a bizarre game, and I'm not sure what to think about it still.
It could get harder. In fact, chances are it does, most games do.
Right.
But I've been in some random tunnels, I've been in some just random places, and then everything just dies. At my might.
I wonder if that changes. I wonder if it's I don't know what system they use. I wonder if it scales by level.
I don't know. I kind of like that idea.
Scaling by level?
Yeah.
Always especially a constant challenge.
Especially if it's a completely open world.
Right,
like,
right.
You know that you can go anywhere and it's always going to be the perfect challenge.
Right, yeah.
I kind of like that idea.
That could work for a lot of different things. That definitely could.
But
we're going to have to play this a lot more.
Yeah.
I have serious issues with towns.
Was there a difficulty setting?
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I don't remember either. We'll look here. I want to fool around with it more in a little bit anyway. But I had a problem with the towns, walking around and just stealing whatever I wanted. I could just pick it all up. And as long as I didn't talk to the guy, it seemed like I was good.
Really?
Yeah, like, I walked into this shop, and I straight up just started taking stuff. And he didn't seem to care for shit.
Oh, speaking of AI, this Radiant AI stuff is a bunch of bull. Have you been in some room where there's several NPCs, and they just start walking into the wall?
Really?
Or they start, like I had one person just, like, decide to walk over the dinner table.
Yeah.
Like, she was sitting there eating, and someone else comes down to start eating, and she just, like, gets up and steps right over the guy's plate.
Whoa, maybe she was pissed at him, then. Maybe she caught him fucking her sister or something. I don't know. She wanted to step on his food.
No, the pathing for that Radiant
terrible.
AI is bad.
Jesus.
Bad.
And I didn't see any problems like that. I basically walked into a town.
All over the place.
Stole
especially
some
in the
shit.
Mage's Guild, I found it, because there's a lot of people in the Mage's Guild running around. Like, have you gone to the Fighter's Guild, which is where you'd have to go?
No, because I didn't care. All I know is I had to go talk to some guy about the amulet still that the king gave me.
Oh, yeah, I still have to do that, too.
And, like, I did hours worth of shit before I finally was like, all right, I'm going to go. He's like, I wanted to play around. I wanted to experiment with the game, see what I could and could not do, and fuck around a little bit. And then I wanted to hit some quests up and still get going. And it was like, by the time I was like, okay, this is how this game's going to be. I'm going to get really sick of this in like 2 minutes. I better head in that direction. So, lucky me, it's marked on my map, and I can just walk, bam, straight for the place I'm supposed to go, and I just walked off.
You could just click it.
I didn't realize I could have teleported, though. Oh, my God. This is lame.
Every single major city, right from the get-go, and every little corner after you've
been there. I don't know if I could get used to that at all. Like, I have seriously played it for that. And then I was so bent. I ended up canceling, like, the next day or 2 days later, I ended up canceling my order on that new video card.
Oh, right.
I couldn't bring myself to do it. I said, you know, I'm not so sure about this anymore. This is not the game worth spending that much money for. So, you know, I'm looking at things like Heroes of Might and Magic 5 comes out, or... A
couple days.
Is it 5? Yeah, 5. Yeah, in a few days? Come on, baby.
Like, 2 days.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, that's right. That was like the 4th or something, right? Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was so soon. So, yeah, let's pray that this is the game to end all WoW for me. let's hope that this is it, because I'm getting tired of that game.
You better hurry
so
up
pissed.
And finish getting your tier 0.5.
I don't care anymore, though. Like, I really don't. Like, it's the one driving force I have, so that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm working for. And that's it. That's all there is left beyond that without getting into some... crazy raid thing where it's like you're expected to be there all the time and
or
set
just
your hours
BGs
for this.
Every time you log
and
in.
The battlegrounds are gay in this game. They're the fucking worst thing that ever happened. I thought they were going to be the best thing, and Ultra Valley I thought was great, but they made that lame, and then the other two are just stupid. They're just, I think anyway, in my opinion, they're dumb. A lot of people get off on it, they do it all day. But we did have a gang load of movies here.
Still,
yeah, from I think for weeks now we were talking about them, but you know, we may as well just do them all now. You know,
okay.
We may as well just get to them now, or I mean, we're at least a good chunk of them, maybe another half an hour's worth of movies or something, maybe. I mean, I don't know, we might be able to blow through them really quick.
Okay.
Some deserve more discussion than others. Like Domino, have you seen, you told me you've seen half of the 4 out of the 8 here or whatever.
Domino is not one of them.
Okay, do you know what this is about?
Vaguely, something about a supermodel?
Right, she was a model, not quite, like, I don't think she was like... super, super model. She wasn't doing, like, Maybelline commercials, but she was, you know, modeling clothes on runways and whatnot, and pretty popular magazine covers. I mean, she was getting there, you know. I don't think she wasn't, like, megastar, I thought, anyway. Directed by Tony Scott, and the chick in this is Keira Knightley. Keira, I'm not sure how to say her name, but she's not very attractive anyway.
Her name is. Keira's a hot name.
Yeah, that's pretty good. She's a ex-model, and the whole thing is, she's a model, and she just gets, like, tired of it. You know, she just doesn't like the whole world anymore, like that whole model scene. It just kind of makes her sick, and it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow she gets interested in bounty hunting, which sounds like a bizarre twist for a movie. It's like, what the fuck, you know?
It's an interesting jump.
You know, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm like, running on the catwalk there.
That's like if we just started doing, you know, automobile repair radio one day because we're tired of video games, you know?
Throwing up every day and... You know? And now it's time to shoot people.
Now, you know, yeah, totally. I can see the appeal of that, though, but I'm not coming from that lifestyle, so, you know, hey. But, so she is totally like the badass chick. You know what I mean? Wear black leather, short hair, plays around with nunchucks and knives and guns all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she becomes this complete ass-kicking girl that, you know, just nobody wants to fuck with. And the story is kind of weird. She gets mixed up with some really kind of shady character type guys, and they're bounty hunters, and some funky shit happens. Basically, the guy that ends up paying them a lot of money to do a lot of their jobs gets involved in some shit. Now, they tie the storyline together really well with some stuff that does matter. Suddenly, you find yourself kind of uninterested after a little bit of time. Like, I was kind of bored with the... I was like, why? Why is she doing this? And I didn't care. And they didn't make the movie to care. And that's where my flaw was right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to focus on why her life changed. It's not. It's what happens and some cool shit that happens after it changes. And it's pretty neat because there's dudes with their arms cut off and there's secret codes and all this money missing and there's babies with rare diseases and there's mobsters and there's...
So in other words, the whole modeling thing at the beginning is mostly
because. They may as well said she, you know, she was the person who poured the wax to make the Crayola crayons, you know, at the factory. I mean, it didn't seem to matter too much. At some point, they tried to set up a reality TV show with her and her bounty hunter friends, and so they were like, oh, we can, you know, you're going to be the star, and, you know, we'll have some hot chick on Fox TV, you know, as a life, you know, real-life bounty hunter show or whatever. And it didn't matter. None of the modeling stuff really came into play, and it didn't seem to matter for fucking this. It was really bizarre. It was almost like they picked it because it was such an extreme. You know, it was really kind of useless all in all. But the stories that played through the movie were really good. They were where it was at. You meet some characters that you don't think are going to be major players in the movie, like the chick that's on their side that works at the DMV, the kid who gets a fake ID for his college buddies to go drinking. You know, they just seem to be like little tiny characters that had shit to do with fuck all become a huge part of the movie. And it's really, really cool to see what happens. And, I mean, the next thing you know, they're involved with the mob, they're involved with the law, they're involved with all this crazy shit, just straight up hardcore illegal stuff that they're going down for, that they, you know, try to pull off and everything, and they've got, I don't know, I mean, it had an interesting cast of characters, some, like, full-on, like, Far Eastern dude who's, like, into explosives, you know, it was great, he was kind of a little,
loopy,
little weird, you know, like, very bizarre, like, yeah, anyway, I mean, it was pretty cool, though. All in all, though, I turned out to really enjoy it because they did such a good job with all the weird stuff that they added into it, and I was just not seeing it at first. I'm going to say out of the $8.75, I'm going to go with $7. Absolutely worth your money. It was a good movie. At the end of it, I was just like, wow, that was a pretty damn good movie. I mean, it really was good. I can't... Oh, Lucy Liu is in it. That stupid bitch. She's in it, but barely. She's a federal agent.
You don't like Lucy Liu?
I can't stand her.
Oh.
No, I can't stand her at all. Mickey Rourke is in there, too, and he's a badass in there. So, I mean, it's a pretty good movie. It really is. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It sounded interesting, and it dropped the ball right away. And then I was like, oh, wow, this is a pretty fat movie. So it was cool. Like, I really enjoyed myself watching that movie. I also saw a movie called Waiting. Have you seen this, a comedy?
I have.
Okay. This is, directed by Rob McKittrick. Notable actors is Ryan Reynolds, who is slowly becoming my hero. This guy is great.
He's been working a lot lately.
He has. He's done, in fact, wait, we get to another one of movie. Oh, it's his next, actually. Wait, isn't he in it? Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, yeah. So, he's the guy
from, Van Wilder.
Yeah, Van Wilder, okay, yeah, that's him. And this is basically a comedy. It's called Waiting. A comedy about the lives of people who work at, like, a restaurant. And it sounds pretty boring. All in all, it's pretty boring. It really is. I mean, the lives of somebody who works in a restaurant, it's like the opposite of Clerks. Clerks was the lives of people who work at, you know, a convenience store. Mm-hmm. But it was about the fattest movie on the face of the planet. Yet you go to Waiting, and the only really good part of the entire movie is this gay joke that they have. And it's fucking hilarious.
I don't know. I found the movie kind of weird. Like, I liked it, but I didn't know why.
Okay.
And that's pretty much all I can say about it. I mean, it's very weird.
It seemed like it had a very clear-cut, simple goal. You know, there was one of the guys was facing, you know, his future. Do I focus on school and do what I want to do, or do I work in this restaurant for the rest of my life? I mean, that was basically the movie, yet it tried to encompass everybody's lives, but I thought did a very poor job. The only entertainment I had in that whole movie really came down to the fact that I could identify with some of the characters a little bit, and the joke they had was fucking hilarious.
That was great, the chick at the end.
So, I remember... No, okay, this joke.
Right.
Right, we gotta tell them what this is, though, because it doesn't make any sense. We just keep saying that. They have this joke they play at the restaurant, and it's just among the employees, where it's basically they try to get you to look at their wings without you knowing it.
Right.
And it sounds incredibly stupid, but it's goddamn hilarious. It really is. Like, imagine just walking around the corner at your work, and you're staring at Paco's wing, and he's laughing at you now, and because you looked, he gets to call you gay and kick you in the ass a couple times. And it's kind of funny, because they got dudes, like, hanging from rafters with their junk just hanging out at eye level.
Until someone turns around the corner to wham!
Yeah, I mean, it's actually pretty funny. It was, I don't know why, but I was laughing quite a bit when now you wouldn't expect it, and I'd see it. Somebody bend over, grabbing his wing, and he's pulling it out the back or whatever, and they had names for it. And they had a number of kicks that you could earn, depending on the complexity. You know, I mean, it was great. They really did a good job. And I think I wanted to score the movie higher than it probably deserves, because Ryan Reynolds is in it. And he's a pretty good actor, and he's a fucking great comedian. So I wanted to give it square, like, half. Like 4.37. I just, like, it was pretty good, and like you said, you enjoyed it, but don't know why. I could see how that was, because there wasn't a whole lot there. The character development wasn't even very good.
Yeah, and there was just, like, there was lots of very, very small things that happened that didn't really tie to anything.
To anything, right.
And it was, I don't know. I'm going to give it a 5.50.
Okay. I'd say it's worth a rental if you're, like, getting drunk that night.
Yeah, what's a rental? How much?
$4 now.
Okay, I'll call
$3.50. $4.
Okay, I'll call it rental. I'll call it $4.50.
Rental material. Okay. Now another movie, complete opposite shift of waiting, was called Just Friends. This also had Ryan Reynolds in it, and it also had Amy Smart, who's the hot chick from the Road Trip movie.
Right.
She was. What's her name? I can't remember now. Anyway, Amy Smart's her real name, and Ryan Reynolds is in it. He plays this guy named Chris Brander. Amy Smart plays Jamie Palomino, and this is a great movie. It's set up from the start something that somebody like me would really enjoy, I think. You know, the kind of kid that didn't have a whole lot of friends in school and whatnot. People made fun of him a lot. He's a fat kid, and they did a great job with the makeup, too, and they had a lot of great jokes in there, too. Like, you know, peppered throughout the movie. You didn't see this, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's true. Okay, you saw the one, like, absolute most hilarious fucking little, like, 10-minute segment, though. Okay, and anyway, so they're in high school, and Ryan Reynolds plays the fat kid, and him and Amy Smart's character are, like, best friends, right? Now, it sounds like, oh, total, you know, oh, God, this movie's going to be kind of lame and everything. It turned out to be, like, the comedy of the year so far. The guy, you know, basically, they get out of high school, and he wanted to be more than friends with her. Yeah. She didn't. You know, they were best friends, though, you know, but didn't want to quite go to that level. He gets incredibly embarrassed over some, you know, like, basically like a love note, basically. He wrote it almost like the entire school kind of finds.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically runs away from his hometown. He is just, you know, completely ashamed of his whole life, and he just doesn't want to even remember that used to be him. So now he's a good-looking guy who's in his 20s and has a great job. It's something to do with music, right? I'm not actually 100% sure what he did. You know, he works with, like, all these really high-paid, you know, artists, and works for a record label and all this stuff and everything. So the movie kind of starts out after you see his great embarrassment in high school to where now he's this, you know, very successful, good-looking guy that has nothing to do with his past, doesn't go home, never visits his family, doesn't call, doesn't talk to any of those people ever more, even his best friend. It's kind of sad. Well, then he gets on a job for work. He's got to hang out with this the singer chick, right, who's a complete fucking dumb shit-ass retard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they wind up in his hometown. And so all of a sudden now he runs into his family. It's been 10 years, and he's visiting with his mom and, like, his younger brother, and which is hilarious. Him and his younger brother just bust out in brawls. Just, like,
randomly?
Just randomly. They're just, like, they're on the phone, and one of them walk by, and he'll, like, full on, like, hit him. Wham! And then they start, like, kicking the shit out of each other. It's hilarious. And just, like, randomly. It's just, like, passing each other in the hall. They're like, woof! Bam! Slam each other up against the wall, and they break out into a fight. And it's funny, and I can't think of the kid's name, but he's been in a lot of movies recently, too. He's pretty popular. You'll know him when you see him. And I don't know. Goofy kid, though, and he doesn't play a huge major role in it, but he does play, like, a definite supporting minor role,
right,
as he runs into the chick from high school again, of course, and totally falls in love all over again. He's kind of reminded of how, you know, he felt for her. And needs to ditch this chick that he can't stand. It's a total retard from the music business. But his little brother is totally infatuated with her because she's a, you know, pop star. Mm-hmm. You know, spanks it to her 7 times a day, you know. So he, like, kind of pawns her off on his little brother and shit while he tries to hang out with Amy Smart and get to know her better. And then one of the kids that worked, one of the guys from American Pie, the jock guy, the football guy. What was his name? Oz. That guy's in it. And he kind of moves in on Amy Smart also. So it's like them two now competing for the same chick, but it's a comedy. So you got to keep in mind that all, throughout this, all kinds of hilarious stuff is happening. And I mean, like, it's geared not as just stupid comedy that doesn't have a point. You know, it's not just getting kicked in the nuts for no reason. I mean, that's pretty funny and all, but there's no point to it. But when you, you know, certain things happen in the movie, and I don't want to blow it because the best part of this movie is the jokes. You know, they have something to do with the overall plot for the most part, you know. They really tie in fairly well, most of the jokes. So they all have something to do with something. And
right.
There was a point that I had to stop the movie, and I, honest to God, just laughed for 5 minutes. My cheeks hurt like hell when I was done with that scene. I had to pause the movie. I could not go on. There was too much of the funny in one little part. It was fantastic. 8 out of 8.75.
Pretty darn solid.
It was a very, very good movie. And you know what the best part was is when the previews came on for it, there were a bunch of like low-rent B previews, and I'm like, this movie's going to blow. Oh my God, this movie's going to suck. And it turned out to be the best thing I saw in a long time. It was absolutely hilarious.
That's good stuff.
It was great. That was called Just Friends. Let's see. You saw this one also. This was Jarhead.
I did.
Now, I had very little to say about this movie.
So now I ended up liking this more than you do, but I'm pretty sure it's because you had high hopes going in.
Right.
And I had low hopes going in. So I ended up being pleasantly surprised while you got
kind of let down. Right.
I thought it was a pretty darn good movie. I mean, it's about this guy who joins the Marines. I can't even really remember why. I think his life's just kind of...
God, I watched it while I was playing a game, and I just kind of spaced out and watched it, and it wasn't good enough to draw me in, which is part of my rating system.
Right.
Most movies that are good... No, every movie that's good, I watch the movie and stop playing. If it's not such a good movie, I wind up playing and barely paying attention to the movie.
I'm having a hard time remembering why he joined the Marines. But I'm pretty sure something was going on in his life, or maybe he just wanted to. I can't remember.
Maybe it was what you did, you know? Like,
right.
A lot of people I know to this day, they think that's what you do. Like, that's life.
Right.
You get out of high school, you join the military. That's your life. That's what you're supposed to do. So, I don't know.
But anyway, he goes, and he's one of the very, very first people to be drawn into Desert Storm, like before it's actually Desert Storm.
Mm-hmm.
He gets sent to the desert. And so they're there for, like, months with nothing going on. They're just protecting these oil fields.
And they're, like, so bored out of their minds.
They start going nuts.
Yeah. And they have, like, scorpion fights and shit.
And I thought it was a pretty good movie, actually. It was really interesting when the fighting actually starts to break out. And he became a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
And he's given a mission to go take care of this general or some high-ranking official in that military. And he finds him, and his partner and him get the shot lined up, and they call up the guy. He's like, yeah, go for it. And he's ready. And then someone breaks through the door and says, no, hold everything. We got the bombs. We're just going to bomb them all. And they, like, freak out. Like, let me take the kill.
Like, they wanted to shoot him
right,
bad.
Because they've been here for months.
And they were like, this is what we were supposed to do. Let us do it. Who cares? They're going to, you know, die anyway. And
yeah,
that was pretty cool. I remember that scene very well.
And I think that scene was kind of the whole point of the movie.
Yeah, that had to have been, like, a focal point for this whole thing. Because it was that's kind of what I got out of the movie was it was to show you the mentality of the soldiers and kind of what happens. It wasn't about the war.
Right.
It wasn't about whatever all this other crap is. This is what happens to your guys.
Right.
You know, this is
this is the crazy crap that goes through their head.
Yeah.
Even when they didn't even see all that much fighting.
Yeah.
They saw just a handful of fighting.
That's a very good point.
And it still screwed with their heads.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, I didn't, as you can see here, and, you know, I didn't hate the movie. I enjoyed it. It had some pretty interesting parts in it. Some of the scenes were spectacular though. Like when the put the oil on the fire.
That was a cool scene.
Oh my god. I've never seen anything quite that cool. You know, I mean that was neat. That was like holy shit, that is fucking neat.
And it's like raining burnt
oil.
Partly burnt oil and
chunks, yeah.
Yeah, blobs. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean that was pretty neat, you know. I mean I don't know. They did a good job with it. It just seemed like it was missing a constant punch. You know, like, granted, it's about the boredom of it and the slow insanity, how you start losing your mind. And there were some other cool parts where the guy's wife was fucking the neighbor or whatever, you know.
That's my wife!
You know, yeah, and how he kind of goes crazy. I mean, but the movie needed just a few more of those, like, extreme points, I think. Mm. And it would have just kept people's interest a little bit better and maybe made it a little bit clearer about what the movie was actually here for. So, 6 out of 8.75. Definitely worth a rental.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 8.75. Okay. I would have not been disappointed if I had gone to the theater.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, see, I'd have fallen asleep. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, and Vince Vaughn. What do you think of that?
I hated this movie.
You absolutely hated this movie, huh?
And the only real reason is because I don't know how many. I don't know if you have or many of our listeners have seen Spy Kids.
No, I've never seen it.
This was an adult ripoff of Spy Kids.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that, so I don't know.
It was just the kids didn't know that the parents were spies, and they eventually find out.
Right, okay.
Now, granted, in this, they start fighting each other.
Right, and I thought that was the cool part of the movie, was when they start fucking blowing each other up as, you know, as best they can and hunting each other.
They're supposed to love each other.
It was great.
Snap.
It was great because they didn't know. They didn't know what they did for a job, and their marriage was very fucked up because of it. You know, like, they didn't talk. They just had all kinds of money, and nobody really knew how. And everything was based on a lie. They were both assassins. And it was, I thought that was really cool. It was like, well, that's pretty neat, you know. I don't think it's got some big-name actors in it. You know how, okay, this has potential. It dropped the ball in a lot of parts, though. There's some shit that just couldn't have happened. You know, and in a movie like this, it needs to be a little bit more believable. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, sure, I'll let gadgets do a lot of the believing for me. Like, if there's no way they can get out of this situation alive, but they pull out a gadget, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, they got a smoke bomb.
It's a cool spy gadget.
Right, right. Instead, you know, it's just the two of them with, 27 guys with Uzis, and they kill them all with pistols.
Oh, yeah, and like the...
And it's like, no
the department
fucking,
store or whatever
right,
they
and
were.
It's like, come on, nobody's that dumb. They get into this little box, they would have fucking hosed...
Nobody's that good.
You know, right, nobody's that good, and the bad guys shouldn't be that dumb. Nobody would just let them... They shoot a couple shots into the thing, and just, that's it. No, they would have mowed the place down. They had them cornered. If they were serious about killing them, it's not like they were trying to not damage the place. They fucking moved the place half the shit as it was. But I thought it was kind of cool to see the breakdown of their whole thing and how they came about meeting each other. I don't know why. It was just like, I already knew that they were both spies, but they didn't know. So watching it unfold was kind of cool to me. And then, of course, seeing them absolutely go after each other's throats was pretty damn cool. Unfortunately, it ends like you would expect a love story to end, you know? And it was just kind of like, it had to be, though. It fit the movie well. A lot of the times I'm on the opposite side of that, where I would think they shouldn't have done it, but it did do it well here, which is why I don't know. I was entertained, and I did enjoy it. It was worth paying for the night I rented that and brought it back right away, but I did watch it pretty soon. I just didn't think it was worth watching more than once. 5 out of 8.75 is what I ended up giving this movie.
I don't know why, but personally, the only saving grace of this movie was really the action.
Which was pretty good, too. That was another pretty good section of it.
That's the only thing that really appealed to me about the movie. I give it a 3.
Okay. I could sense that coming from you. But and remember the scene, though, where they're trying to blow up the vans or whatever, the trucks with the kid in it? And, like, she's up there trying to snipe him and got the computer, and he comes in on the dune buggy.
Right,
and he's, like, acting like a fucking moron. That was pretty fucking cool. Like, you know, that was just funny as hell, because, like, look what an asshole jack-off moron retard he is versus how cool and calm and precise and collected that she is. I thought it was cool. It was pretty neat. I did enjoy it.
$3.
Zathura. Did you see that?
I don't even know what the hell this is.
All right, save your pennies. This has got Tim Robbins in it, who's actually a pretty good actor, but he's in it for like all of 30 minutes, I swear to God. This is basically a movie that had, I thought, great potential, and everybody tells me it's like a movie called Jumanji.
This is the movie that's like the, basically kind of a sequel to Jumanji.
I've never seen this Jumanji thing, or really
you don't
even,
know what Jumanji
never
is?
Even fucking heard of it, although I want to say it has something to do with Robin Williams for some reason.
Robin Williams.
Okay. Thank God.
Robin Williams as a kid starts playing this game that becomes real.
Really?
And the fucking elephants and shit are from this jungle, and he rolls the wrong roll, takes like this chance card, like if it was Monopoly.
Right.
And you get sucked into the game world, and he gets for the next 30 years he's trapped in this killer jungle.
That sounds hella fat.
And then these two other kids in today's time find the game, start playing it, and
it
roll
just be-
and roll out. Robin Williams. So he gets out, and so the only way to break the magic spell is to actually play the game through.
Okay. That's exactly how this kind of went through. Wow. Now I want to watch Jumanji, because I bet it's twice as good as this.
Probably.
I bet it is. This basically starts out with two kids, two sons, and then, three kids, I guess. There's the daughter. That are in their father's home, and you can tell like the parents just got divorced or something. They're trapped at their father's house. They're not having any fun. They don't like it. He's got to go out on a business call, so he, like, leaps. End of story. Tim Robbins is out of it, and he's like the big name actor in the movie. Bam, he's gone. The kid, the youngest kid finds this game called Zathura downstairs, where it's like a space flight game, and he pushes the button, it makes him move X amount of spaces, it pops out a card, and it says like in the commercial you see a meteor shower. All of a sudden there's meteors flying through the living room in the house. Mm-hmm. They're like, what the fuck? And then the kid can't push the button, so he gets his brother to push it, because it's a two-player game. Two rocket ships are off, bam. This happens, next thing you know, they're flying through space in their house. And at first I was like, wow, this is really cool. This has such great potential. But it seems like only five or six things happen in the movie, and it seems like you know that. And seeing the end of the movie coming really kind of blew for me. Only because I'm watching them progress down the game. And you know they're going to end really soon here. And there was only one really good twist in the whole movie. And it was really good. Like, I didn't see it coming, but I thought it was pretty spectacular when it happened, and I was like, wow, that really threw me for a loop. But they did have some really cool things. They had killer robots, they had aliens that were hunting them. It had some really cool stuff in it. Now, unfortunately, I did not know about this Jumanji thing, so in my little rating here actually became $5 out of $8.75, but it sounds like I should cut it. Based on the fact that it's a ripoff of Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I'm going to have to go see that now. I'm going to have to rent that.
I actually really like Jumanji.
It sounds way better than this already. Damn. Now I'm like pissed. Like I want to go and get it. Like maybe I'll do it tomorrow. That sounds really cool. So, did you see Lord of War?
I did.
You did? Awesome.
This was a good movie.
Nicolas Cage as Yuri Orlov and Bridget Moynihan as some crazy shit, his wife.
Ava Fontaine. This reminded me a lot of Blow.
Yeah, it did. It had a lot of Blow. Yeah. That was a good movie, though,
yeah,
too. Blow was fucking great. Okay. From the beginning, though, his whole family's like an immigrant. They come to the United States. They don't have a lot of money. They run like a restaurant or some shit.
Yeah, they run like a Russian restaurant, but they're Jews or something.
Right, yeah. And they're like in downtown Brooklyn or something,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they're like they were like German Jews or
right. It was
Polish Jews
bizarre.
Or something, and then they decided to start change their name to Orlov.
Right,
that wasn't even their name.
But at the time, it was for a reason, so they wouldn't get fucked with. You know, I mean, there was like a whole reason behind all this. So it starts out kind of bizarre, and like one of the brothers cooks for the place, and Nicolas Cage, the other brother, just doesn't really like the whole scene. You know, he's just not too impressed with the whole family. Restaurant business, I guess. He doesn't see that in his future, really. And his brother doesn't seem to give a shit. He's like the cook or something. He doesn't seem to care. Now, from there, though, it progressed rather quickly. And he starts talking about guns, like, right away. I actually can't remember how he wound up getting the first gun, though. I kind of forgot. I remember he had, like, an Uzi or something.
The first Uzi, as I recall, was just from some street.
Some street vendor, and then he resold it?
Right, or something.
Right. And okay, now the whole thing of it is the movie is it's called Lord of War. He is a weapons dealer. And it's great because it starts out with him just being, you know, shit for nothing to becoming, like,
the
arms dealer. Right, yeah.
Of
every
world.
Yeah, it's fucking badass. And I this movie was really good. I had a lot of good things. I watched it a couple of times in like the 2 days that I had the disc here. I mean, it was that good to me. It progressed pretty quickly though, and it's kind of funny because it's comical to see that he didn't like have this in his blood right away. He didn't know anything about guns. He was already fairly old when he got into this. Mm-hmm. And he like gets this like Uzi or whatever, Mac-10 or something to sell to some street thugs or whatever to begin with, but for a profit is the whole point. And he's like sitting in like a hotel room reading the manual about the features of it, so that when the guys come in to buy the gun, he spews it out like a car salesman, and he's like, oh yeah, this will do X amount of rounds per second, and it has the cult, you know, blah blah blah, this and that, and you know, it's just like, shut the fuck up, give me the gun, you know, it was pretty funny, you know, but then it like, you know, he finds ways in the system now that he can buy maybe old military guns, mm-hmm. things that were not used after the war, Cold War ends, oh my god, he can make some more money, his flaw...
I was just going to say, yeah, he goes to Russia when the Soviet Union breaks up. And
there's piles.
Tons.
Hundreds of thousands. Yeah. Tens of thousands of guns. And anyway, I think his whole... tanks and helicopters and shit. And he even gets this fucking like FBI guy or customs agent or some shit riding his ass with the whole thing. You know, like he knows he's a bad guy, but he can't pin anything on him because of the law. So it's like if you have an attack chopper... and you're shipping illegally an attack chopper across seas, if you take the weapons off the attack chopper and set it on a different part of the ship, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're, you know, a reconditioned helicopter that could be used for medical purposes and weapons as two separate ships. Like, he had all the loopholes. He had all the contacts. He knew, you know, the rulers of nations and dealt with them to get massive quantities of guns to turn around and sell them to other guys. And vice versa, so they can kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Then he buys the guns back, again, used. Sells them to somebody else. You know, it was just, it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
he gets to travel around a lot. And unfortunately, he wraps his brother up in the whole ordeal with it. And his brother doesn't do so well with the whole thing. He has, you know, some mental issues with it. And his brother's kind of unstable and weird anyway. But it was a good character. It added some flavor to the movie.
Definitely.
As did his love. Which, the flaw in any great story in the world... the woman comes into play, totally fucked this guy's day up. See, he would have been fine if it wasn't for her, and he was totally in love with this chick. And it was interesting to see how he got her, using his money and power,
mm-hmm.
renting out hotels, lying to her for a photo shoot, and it's just him. You know, it was pretty interesting to see how he did that, so it was kind of cool to see that he managed it. But it bit him in the ass, as it always does, you know. But it was a fucking great movie. Like, I watched it, like I said, a couple of times because I was just way into it. It was pretty good. I ended up cutting it pretty low, I think, compared to the comedy movies. 675 out of 875. It's probably worth more than that, though, because it was pretty damn good. In fact, I should say at least 725. At least.
I was going to say somewhere between 725 and 750.
Yeah, it's got to be right around on there. It's a great movie.
Definitely worth seeing if you haven't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, this other movie I have heard all kinds of shit about, and I don't know why.
Ribo, Hades, we're talking to you.
Yeah, this is called, okay, The Aristocrats. Now, this is going to be the shortest review we've ever done. Okay, this movie... it features 100 different, like, you know, over like 100 comedians, where, like, real people that we all know. Like, you'll see, like, George Carlin is on there, and, you know, like, every member of the cast of SNL or whatever. And, like, every comedian, Paul Reiser, fucking every Bob Saget, every fucking person is on there. And they tell the same joke.
100 times.
A couple of times, sometimes. Some of them will give you variants of the joke. And then, so the movie's a documentary of the aristocrats' joke, which essentially is like, oh boy, how to best describe this joke? You make the joke up as you go, and it's just designed to be the most vulgar, disgusting joke that you can tell, which is where the entertainment in this movie comes in, to hearing George Carlin try to be foul-mouthed. You know, and the whole joke is basically that, you know, these guys come to this talent agency or whatever, say, I got this thing you gotta see, this skit we do, you know, or whatever, this play with my whole family. Oh yeah, what is your skit? And he goes on to talk about how he, like, I mean, just think of the most vulgar shit you can. The nastiest sex acts with your cats and dogs and your mother and your grandma, I mean, you can come up with. And then you end the joke with, you know, the talent agent guy or whatever, you know, says, well, what do you call yourselves? And the punchline is, the aristocrats. Right? Now, you can only hear this joke so many times in an hour before you never want to think about this again. And some of the guys were very creative. I did laugh pretty hard on a few of the comedians that were talking. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it was like, maybe because the threshold was set to unlimited, anything that wasn't very close to that boiling point was just so like, eh, that was a weak-ass attempt. You know, Bob Saget off this. Actually, he had one of the better ones. Yeah. I was blown the fuck away. Hearing those words, you know, that shit come out of Bob Saget's mouth was worth the $3 out of $8.75.
There you go.
But some of them were just lackluster. There was no point in them being there. There was like, crap.
Ribo, how is this your movie of the year?
Yeah.
Or next to the Penguin
one? March of the Penguins, right? It's not that, you can't, this is not worth it. I don't see this.
I have not seen it yet. I think I need to, just to see what the hell
Ribo
is talking about.
No, you need to watch a 15-minute clip of it randomly anywhere in the video. That's seriously all you need to see. That's all you need to see, and you'll get the gist of the entire thing.
It is just like a camera in the audience of a bunch of people on stage.
No. It's like a personal interview with each one.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they went to, say, Bob Saget's house and sat down with him, but you only see him for 5 minutes. They were probably there for quite some time, but you see his little segment of the joke and his take on it. Same with Carlin. You know, they kind of section him out. Uh-huh. So it's just a little weird, you know. In fact, that's incorrect, but that's basically how it works. Okay, like Saget was somewhere. Like he was on stage or something, and he had to go somewhere, and he was in the back or whatever.
Right.
But it was pretty much like, what the fuck is the point of this? I just didn't see it. I just don't see it worth it. This is just my personal opinion. You know, I mean, there's other people that really like that for some reason. I can't figure out what I missed on that. However, Saw 2. I finally got to see a movie that I knew I was going to like an awful lot. And thank God the listeners kept telling me to watch this because I finally got up the motivation to watch this fucking movie. Now, if you've watched Saw 1, you know basically the outline of it here is the guy, Jigsaw, basically takes people and like kidnaps them, sets them up in like a game room kind of deal where they have to survive and they basically need to kind of realize there is a reason to live. And there's a point. You know, like they, trying to think of a good example. And like the suicide girl is probably the best example. Was she a drug addict? You know, and he has an example for her where she's got to like do this whole thing to save her life. She wants to die anyway, though. So fuck her. She doesn't care, so let you die. His point was if you really want to die, then just sit in this room. That's it. That's all you have to do. But if you want to live, you got to dig through this guy's stomach who's alive and find the key to take this trap off your head. You know, whatever the case may be. Sick, twisted, fucking gory shit. I love it. Now, I know that Kobar here didn't like that very much, and it's just not your thing.
It's just not my thing.
I get off on this kind of stuff. I think it's neat, and I think it... Dude, segue here real quick. I met a guy who was an ex-SWAT agent the other day and had some fat fucking stories for me. And he told me a story about a guy that he saw get cut in half, attached by his intestines still, crawling towards him while he had his hands on his... one hand on his leg and one hand on his intestine. How sick shit is that? I was like, whoa!
Jesus.
Yeah, it was a motorcycle versus a car accident. He was a police officer for a while. And the guy's off in a field somewhere, and he could see his leg, but it was dark at night. He grabs his leg, grabs the leg, reaches for his body, and can't find his body. But he puts his hand on what feels like a rope, thinks the guy's, like, doubled over, looks up, the guy's crawling towards him, but it's just the upper half of his body with his fucking intestine hanging out, but it's all still stuck in there, so he's alive. The minute the adrenaline wore off on him and all that shit, it spilled out the bottom of him and he just dies. But like once he got over it, just whoosh.
How incredible is adrenaline that it can do that?
Yeah, that everything just kind of seizes up and stays in you and just can keep you sustained for that much time. I don't know, but it was fucking badass. You know, I mean, see, it's that kind of shit you don't see every day, and I love hearing about it, I guess, and think, how fucking sick is that? It's cool. So anyway, Saw 2 now. You got Jigsaw again. He's up to his, you know, usual hijinks, and you think to yourself, a lot of people said, it's not like the first one, it's a little bit different, I didn't like the way they did it. If they did it the exact same way, it might not have been a good movie. Because then it would be like, well, this is the same movie. This just different scenario, right? Mm-hmm. So this time, it starts out with the cops finding Jigsaw, right? Now, how many movies where the movie opens up and they caught the bad guy? holy shit, that blew my mind right off the bat. Where is this movie going? Now, you know from watching the trailers that there was a group of people together this time. It was not individual people working out their issues in his little puzzles. This was a group of people trapped in a house filled with gas that was, you know, will kill them in X amount of time. So the cops bust in on Jigsaw, and he has his whole little room there set up in like this warehouse or whatever with computer monitors and shit like this. With video cameras in the house, so they can watch live what is happening to these people in the house. And he's got the son of the one of the cops in there. So right away, it's like, this guy wants to kill Jigsaw. You know, like, strangle his ass, because he's pissed off because he's got his son. And oh my god, I cannot say anything because I will drop too many hints about how it's set up and how Jigsaw rigged the whole thing. But I will assure you that he was in 100% control all the time. The cops, you know, they bust in on him. They've got him trapped. They got him cornered. He's sitting at his desk. Where's he gonna go? They got, you know, he's got cancer and he's hooked up to an IV drip thing. Where's he gonna go? They got him busted. He is in full control of the scenario. It is awesome, the things that happen in this place. Now, some of the traps in the new place were freaky as shit. Okay, there is, I think it's like 8 people or whatever in the house, and there's an antidote in there. Okay. But there's 8 antidotes in there, one for each person. Now, there's a drug dealer, and they go into this room. One of the guys is a drug dealer. They go into this room, and his antidote is behind this locked or this door that will permanently lock in like 30 seconds of the time that they walked in the room or whatever, 1 minute. The key to the door that must be inserted before that 30 seconds is at the bottom of a pile of hypodermic needles. And I don't mean like a pile, I mean like a fucking bathtub, but like round and big, like a spa. It's big. So he has to like dive into this with all these hypodermic exposed needles, though, you know, no little plastic safety deal on it, and dig around until he finds the fuck. So it's like horrific.
Right.
Just imagine jumping into a pile of needles and digging around for 30 seconds to find this fucking key. They've got one where the guy, the key, the antidote, is hanging inside the furnace that heats the house. And they gotta send in somebody. Somebody's gotta crawl in there, but there's 2 of them in there. And the whole thing was, is the guy had helped Jigsaw. Right? So, basically, they walked into this room and there's a note. And they read the note and it says, this note is for, you know, Bob. Bob, thanks for your help in getting these people here. And everybody's like, what the fuck? You brought us here? And you know, just because you're so kind and generous, there's 2 antidotes in here. One for you and whoever you choose to give the next one to. It's in the furnace. Well, needless to say, this is one of the freakier fucking things that happens in this movie. It is fucking awesome. It was very creative on the way that things go down in this movie. And I loved every minute of the creepiness. Now, they also explained a little bit about what happens to how come one of the characters is back. The suicide chick that lived before, the drug addict chick, tried to kill herself now. Jigsaw took her again and put her back in the house. She didn't learn the first time, obviously. Hint, hint. Something's going on there. That's weird. Right. Why is she back? You know, it's fucking freaky. It's really cool. There were some of the traps that weren't so ingenious, though. Like, there's one where it's like they put their hand up in this box that's floating up on the... like, it's tied to the roof or the ceiling, and it's like a plexiglass box, so you can see the antidote inside of it, and there's 2 silver squares underneath, which push up if you put your hand in it. Well, you put your hand up in it, and it turns out that it's like, since it's a rectangle, it's a square, they're razor blades, edges. And so now you've got your wrist up in this box, and halfway, you know, down your arm now is angled razor blades on all 4 corners of your round arm that has no corners. So that if you were to pull your arm out, you'd chop your hands off.
Right.
Okay. Cool idea, but why didn't they knock the box off the thing and go into the top? You know what I mean? What I mean? There's like different, you know, there was a way around that one. It was just too weak.
Right.
Now, it serves its purpose in the movie because at the point they find it, they're already fucked up in the head so far beyond gone anyway because of the poison that they, you know, basically fall for it essentially. But for the love of God, it just could have been better, you know?
Right.
I tell you what, though. The ending was a shock. The way it played out was a shock. It was fucking awesome. However, it's going to get 750 out of 875, which is still really high up on my list. That is a really, really good thing. You have to see this movie. It is fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. Hostel. I got to see that along the same lines of Saw, where it's basically, you know, some gory-ass shit. You didn't see this? No, okay. Damn it, I gotta talk more. I'm sure people are tired of this now. Now look, this one is set up along the same idea, except for it's a little bit different, because it gets the two thumbs straight up for boobies of the year. Right here, this is the movie. So somebody has to remind me this at the end of the year about this movie, because I'm sure I'll forget. And it's basically about these two college guys that go to like random places in Europe. They're just backpacking around, you know, like, you know, hey, before college, we're going to go backpacking around Europe. They meet up with some other dude who's just kind of kicking it around also. And, you know, the three of them are just having a good time, staying in hostels all over the place. And they're just like chilling, seeing the sights, checking things out, picking up on chicks all over the place. Well, one.
With boobs.
With spectacular ones even, right. So they go out one night drinking somewhere or whatever, and they're out partying, and there's a curfew. So they get back to their hostel too late, and they can't get into the place. So now there's three of these guys that are just pissed drunk or whatever, and they can't do anything, and they, you know, they can't get back to where all their shit is or whatever for the night, or where they were going to stay. And they run into this guy named, I can't remember, his name was Alex, they called him, I think. And, you know, he's some little stoner guy, he's getting high, and he lets him into their apartment, and he's talking to him and whatnot, and he finds out who they are, and they're like, oh, dudes, you guys want to pick up on the best-looking girls, you know, in the world, you go to this hostel down here, you know, wherever the fuck it was. Take the train, it's X amount of miles, it's in this country that you're going to be in or wherever the hell. It's just fucking spectacular. It'll blow your mind. These chicks are just amazing. And these guys are like, oh yeah, dude, oh yeah, we're going down there. We're getting fucked up and we're going to go find some hot chicks. So they get on the train and they head out there. And they meet some creepy people on the train, and it's very weird. And, like you would probably meet if you were just backpacking around long enough, you'd meet some really fucking weird people. And sure enough, they show up at this place. And, you know, the chick at the counter's hot. There's just hot girls everywhere. It's crazy, and they just don't know what to do with themselves. It's almost just like too good to be true. They're, you know, hot chicks in the lobby everywhere. So that's like, wow, this is spectacular. Here's your room key. It's not your own private rooms, though. You know, you have roommates. They're like, oh, God, suck ass. They get up there, and it's three gorgeous chicks. And they're just like, you know, they're naked when they walk in the room even. You know? They're just like, holy fucking shit, this is a dream come true. The chicks are like, hey, let's go down to we're going down to the spa. You guys want to come? They're just like, fuck yeah! You know? So it's great. I mean, the movie sets up for the first 40 minutes of looking at hot chicks. Half naked. I mean, it seems so great. You know, the movie just starts out really strong like that. It gets you hooked, okay? Well, it quickly turns pretty bad. They're out partying with these girls and whatnot, and one of their buddies disappears. What the fuck happened to him? Okay. Then their other buddy disappears, and now the story is kind of centered around one guy. What the fuck's going on here? And the chicks are gone now. The guy at the hotel pretends like he doesn't know what happened. You guys checked out. What the fuck are you talking about? This guy's creeped out like hell now. You know what's going on? This is kind of freaky. Through a series of events, winds out discovering that basically, now you get all this from watching the trailer, essentially, people get kidnapped to be tortured. Okay? And this guy finds out about it and tries to go save his friends, who have been kidnapped to be tortured, and one of the hot Asian chicks from the lobby is there too. And like, the movie's basically him and how he has to, you know, infiltrate this place and whatnot, but it's gory. It's pretty gory. I've never seen a blowtorch taken to a face before of a live person, you know, like even in a video game, you know. I've seen flamethrowers and they go, ah, you know, and they die and then right. They say it burns and it's all good. This was some fucking awesome shit here. The way that, like, even accidentally people got injured and, like, gory, like, whoops, there goes, you know, a body part, you know, was pretty good. The creepy, fucked up, mentally jacked up ass people that were in there really did a good job, you know, like of acting and whatnot. And some of the twisted shit, it almost left too much to my imagination, though, because I didn't get to see as much as I wanted to, which is where I do knock the movie just a little bit. I actually knock it less than Saw, which was actually a surprise to me. I want to say they were a lot closer for different reasons. But they did a spectacular job with this fucking movie. It was a different kind of sick and twisted almost. And it got into the mentality of it just a little bit, which was nice. Jigsaw has a reason. And a very good one, if you ask me. Okay. He's doing a good job. I think, see, Jigsaw, he should be president. The guys in Hostel, it's like business people that have more money than friends and have done what they think to be everything. So the one thing they haven't done yet is kill a person. So they pay for it. That's kind of the gist of it, really. Mm. And while I understand that completely, I don't agree with paying for it. So that's, you know, I kind of knocked that a little bit. So I wish I was joking here, though. So anyway, and this one guy is in it, and I can't think, like, there's like no really big-ass name people in here that I could think of, really, you know, like that I recognize, except for one guy, and I don't know what his name is. He's got kind of chubby cheeks, and he's really short hair, always kind of a round head, big, like, chipmunk teeth. And he was in, like, this movie called Jake in Progress, at a TV show, and he's, like, a magician, but a bad one. Oh, I can't think of what his fucking name is. Yeah. He's great, though. And he is a sick, twisted fuck. He's in this, and he's kind of loopy, and it's pretty cool. And basically, it's got everything, though. It's got the gore, the hot chicks, the mystery, the sadness, the whole mentality of the whole thing, and it resolves. The best part is, you get your revenge in there, you get your solution, you get your the wrap-up of the story is all there, all the characters come to a close, everything kind of just is self-contained. Like, you're not like, oh, Christ, there's going to be four more of them. Even though you could easily see how it would happen, easily, mm-hmm. easily, it just does feel like it was mostly self-contained, and that if there never is a second one, you're not going to miss anything.
Right.
I thought they did a spectacular job. It was really good, so I'm going to say, and I'm shocked, 825 out of 875. It was a good movie. It was a real good movie. I could not blink. It was good. And the only reason it really gets knocked is because I wanted just that much more gore. And it was probably because they did such a good job with what gore they did have that I knew they were capable of more. There was potential there that they brought to the table, just not as much as they should have, because it seemed short. It seemed too much titty, not enough inside of titty. So, for a gore movie, now, maybe I'm conditioned wrong because of, like, you know, the horror movies where you get one or two titties. You know, flashes anyway. You know, about pairs. You know, not 45 minutes of it, and then you're looking at the insides of somebody. It just wasn't a healthy balance, I guess. You know? So, not for a straight-up horror flick anyway, I guess. If they would have peppered them out throughout, maybe that would have been a little better.
Okay.
But,
You see, I'm of the mind.
There is no such thing.
There's no such thing as too much.
I don't think there is. I don't think there is either. But you must condition yourself to the titty. You must ration it throughout your movie. You know,
they can have a movie where all it is just a pair bouncing for an hour and a half.
Right, but that's 100%. That's fine.
And that's 875, right. Baby.
But not when it's like 50-50, though. You wanted the, honest to God, I wanted the first part of the movie for the whole movie. Because it was so great. Titties. But then you go to the other half of the movie and you look at the insides of people. And it was so great. So it should be the perfect movie, but it wasn't. Because you wanted one or the other, it felt like. Or more of, anyway. I don't know. Just, it was, well, I watch the times when I watch movies. Mm-hmm. I look at the movie and I'm like, I've watched 45 minutes of boobs. Great. Can we watch the rest of the movie? Shit, it was only a 45-minute movie. It was a horror movie. That's all I saw was 45 minutes of horror. The rest was horrors. It was great. You know? I watch a movie, too, for the setup of it. How long does it take to get into a good plot? 20, 30 minutes? God, that's a serious chunk of movie. It better be 2 hours long. 10, 15 minutes of plot? Good. You know, of setup? Good. Hey, we're in for a long haul here. The ending, depending on how long that is, rounds off the movie nicely. It is a flow. It's a process, your whole movie. It's not just a giant boob.
I understand what you're saying.
All right. What a great way to end the show, though, talking about boobs. Awesome. Next week, these two boobs will be back talking about, I have no idea what yet. Hopefully a little bit more of Oblivion, I hope.
I'm not entirely sure I'm going to be playing it anymore.
Yeah, me neither. I can't. I was going to mention, though, there is a UI mod out for it already, but it's not the world's end-all be-all of UI mods. I haven't actually got to check it out, but I hear it's helping.
Right.
In fact, I've got it right here. Improved UI with no markers version 2.1, not quite sure yet, but I gotta check this out. Hopefully some new mods will come out for this that'll fix the user interface and make it not so retarded. I hope people are happy that this is long, because we got a bunch of shit for not doing a show for a long time.
Yep.
Peace out.
Later.